to do to save his life, call his wife in. Nothing to say, but what a day, how's your boy been? Nothing to do, it's up to you. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, yeah.
Going to work, don't wanna go, feeling low down. Heading for home, you start to roam, then you're in town. Everybody knows there's nothing doing. Everything is closed, it's like a ruin. Everyone you see is half asleep, and you're on your own, you're in the street. After a while you start to smile, now you feel cool. Then you decide to take a walk by the old school. Nothing has changed, it's still the same. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning.
Is full of life. It's time for tea and meet the wife. Somebody needs to know the time. Glad that I'm here. Watching the skirt, you start to flirt. Now you're in gear. Go to a show, you hope she goes. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning, good morning.
Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
4th of July, it's our second annual Top 100 Calls of the Year show. Every 4th of July, of course, we roll out the Top 100 Calls. And let me tell you a little bit about the show. If you're just joining us, you're brand new, you don't know the Phil Hendry Show. We really, on our show, take great pride in taking the format, the idea, the concept of talk radio and shattering it and sort of reassembling it. It is a parody of talk radio. It is a satire of the pumped up, over-indulged, self-important hosts and callers that you often hear on these shows. Now, many of the characters you'll be listening to today are characters that we created over the course of many, all of them were characters we created over the course of the last 13 years doing the show the way we do it. When you hear a guest, you'll actually be hearing me doing the voice of that guest. For instance, our first call is R.C. Collins. That little boy that you hear will actually be me. Now, I say all of this to for one reason, and it's a very good reason. People still just don't seem to quite understand what the hell it is we do on this show. So from time to time, I need to explain it. And it's actually very good, because once we do, we do earn more and more fans. In any event, we're going to start the show off today with a variety of calls and issues over the past year. They reflect everything from the war in Iraq, the Catholic priest scandal, how men treat women, how families are interacting these days, etc. And one other thing, we're not really going to be playing 100 calls. It's impossible to put 100 calls into a three-hour show. We just call it the Top 100 Calls. It's more like the Top 19 Calls. But it's plenty, believe me. We're going to start off today with this little ditty from, and it is kind of like a music countdown. You know how music shows count down the hits? We count down the calls. The only show that can do that is ours, because our calls are unlike any other you've ever heard. The people, by the way, that you will hear calling our show actually thought they were talking to a real person. They thought that, for instance, R.C. Collins was a real guy. Now, having said all of that, let's start off with call number 19. This is R.C. Collins, and he is tipping his hat off to the FBI and the CIA for apprehending Khalid Mohammed, who was one of the Al-Qaeda terrorists. But he's concerned that this may affect the morale of the troops, because it's a soldier's dream to bring bin Laden's head out on a stake, and if the FBI and CIA do it, well then, what's the fun?
I spent 10 months over there in the sandbox, and this kid can't even get his derogatory terms right. He's calling them towel wrappers, which I've never heard. The proper term, if you're going to call them that, is raghead.
Well, what do you mean?
What I mean is, you don't even know enough to use the proper derogatory term for these individuals that the United States as a whole has deigned to go after. And once again, I'll reiterate, I don't care who finishes this job. Absolutely, absolutely. Every single one of us wants to get over there and kick some ass.
You're sounding suspiciously like someone who is slacking.
I'm sorry? Let me tell you what my job is, Trump. I teach the men and women of the United States Air Force how to handle and maintain their rifles. These are the same rifles that are going to save your ass. If that's slacking, come and get it.
Look, Miss Manners, I'm interested in killing bin Laden, not proper vocabulary like you.
Will you have some respect for somebody that was over there, kid, and not getting to bed by 10 o'clock?
You can take kid and shove it up your ass.
I'm going to hang up on you if I hear that one more time. That's the third time I've heard you say that. And this is an individual that's training troops. She was over there. She saw it. She doesn't go to her grandparents out in Palm Desert.
That's where the Marines train. At 29 Palms.
You're not a Marine.
What?
You're not a Marine.
Yeah, but that's where they trained for Desert Storm.
So what?
Not the same as being there. You act like you've been there, done that. You know more than everybody, know more than anybody. You can do it all. You can put on a gas mask. How long do you have to put on a gas mask in a war zone before the shit gets you? Excuse me.
You have 2 minutes.
You're dead, son. You are so dead. You got 9 seconds to put that gas mask on.
9 seconds?
9 seconds. You better get ready, because I'll tell you what, Bin Laden's going to kick your ass.
Oh, wait a minute. That means the guy that carries it has to stay close to you.
No, you don't carry your own gas. You can't even own gear? Do you want to be a Marine?
Wait a minute. What about the guy that carries the gas mask and the bacteriological suit? Where's he?
You do.
Yeah, you are. You're carrying it. On top of your M60 machine gun that weighs 23.6 pounds.
No.
That's probably at 550 rounds per minute. How much ammo are you carrying with that M60? You're carrying 800 rounds of ammo at a minimum.
Well, I don't have to remember that. That's in the truck that comes behind me.
Oh, no. You're carrying it. Because if you don't have it on you and you get hit with a biological chemical weapon, you need to get that on. I'm sorry. Again,
that's
in
all
right. 9 seconds.
But that gear is really heavy. There's no way you can carry it.
A lot of people do. Men do. Maybe not boys, but men.
And women.
I don't see no woman being able to do it.
Look, why don't you just... Yeah, all right, I'm sorry.
I'm starting to think this kid's a sham.
You make a hell of a mother, Mrs. Brady, I'll tell you that.
That's a good thing I don't have any kids. Especially none like you.
I want to fight for my country, and all you've done is put me down for it.
You know what? You're 17 years old. Have you graduated from high school yet?
No, ma'am. I'm 2 years from it.
2 years? And you're 17?
No, I just turned 17. I'm a junior right now. I graduate 2004.
I'm sorry. Did you say a cheerleader?
Very funny, Miss Manners.
No, I'm serious. I couldn't understand what you said. It sounded kind of mysterious.
I ain't no cheerleader. I'm a junior.
Oh, a junior.
Why don't you flush out your headgear?
Well, maybe when you graduate from high school, you can enlist in one of the four fine branches of the United States military.
I saw three.
See what it's really like.
I saw Three Kings 11 times. I know what dessert is like.
Oh.
What do you mean dessert?
The desert. I'm sorry.
Yo, Jesus. Well, there it is. That's call number 19. That was me doing the voice of RC, and that was a great. A member of our military who had no idea. Anyway, it's not about really scamming people so much as it is. Yeah, it is. It's about kind of scamming people. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with call number 18. It's our 4th of July Top 100 Call Countdown, only on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Continuing the top 100 calls of the year on the Phil Henry Show, our 4th of July tradition. This is caller number 18, featuring a character of ours named Dean Wheeler. Dean is oftentimes a Bay Area lightweight granola eater. Sometimes he's an author. In this particular call, Dean tells us that he wrote a book called Healing Indiscretions. He's holding workshops to help women forgive their husbands after they cheat, because Dean feels it's not a matter of if he cheats, it's simply a matter of when.
If I went to my wife and said, honey, look, guess what? Just be glad that I'm alive today. You know, I had sex with another woman. Just be glad that I'm alive. Thank God that I'm here. I wouldn't live very much longer.
No. Sir, I think you misunderstand me. What I'm trying to say is this. Don't use it as an excuse, but if you find yourself in that situation, there are ways to find a woman who is more forgiving.
Well, are you saying to hide it from a woman or what?
Yeah, I mean, you say there's ways to find a woman that's more forgiving. So you're saying if my wife won't let me cheat on her for any reason, unless I buy a diamond or unless I buy her a new Mercedes or something like that, then I should leave her and find a woman that is stupid enough to let me cheat on her. You're insane, and you're not a doctor.
I prefer to be called doctor, please.
Well, you don't have a doctorate.
Wonderful. Right, exactly. You're not even a mister.
Sir, if you, for whatever reason, let's say you were in the Army.
I was in the Army.
All right. Were you married at the time?
Yeah, we were married at the time.
All right. What if you came home with venereal disease? How are you going to explain that away?
There would be no explaining it.
I am telling you that there is a way.
And no.
So you're actually saying this guy comes home with a pant load of venereal disease. His wife.
You guys can laugh, but there is a way to get forgiveness out of your wife. I know women who will forgive cheating.
Yeah, guys, you know what? You probably pay those women. Do you get paid for this therapy you're offering or whatever it is?
Of course I do, but it works.
Well, more power to you.
All right.
I mean, it's wonderful that you live in a capitalist country with ignorant people.
No, it works, okay? I know women. Listen, you guys.
I mean, you know what? You should get down on your knees every day, literally. And you should thank God that there are an abundance of insane women in this
country. All right,
country.
I'll tell you, there are women out there that will forgive cheating for a short stack.
Oh, that's what I want, Phil. That's what I want. We're lining up for women that'll forgive cheating for a short stack of pancakes. You know what? Wonderful. Wonderful. Where are they at?
Absolutely.
What do they look like?
Absolutely ridiculous.
I'm
ridiculous.
Saying, you're sitting here talking about your wife would have sex with fat women. Well, I'm sure that those women probably would forgive you for having sex with somebody for a short stack of pancakes, man. Come on, give yourself a break. Give everybody else a break, Phil.
Howard,
you need to cut this guy off. This guy's an idiot. He's a complete idiot.
Howard, I'd like to say this, okay? That if you come to our workshop, with your wife, you'll find out.
Why would anybody want to go to a workshop? I got an idea. How about just having a good marriage, be faithful to your wife, and then we'll never need your freaking workshop.
Hey, there you go. I'd like to go to his workshop.
No kidding.
Because I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that you could find a bigger collection of morons in one room than you could in this guy's workshop. I mean, I'm not putting you down.
No, you're not putting me down. No, not at all. No.
No, I'm just saying, you're dealing with morons and idiots, I'm trying
to repair marriages. I'm trying to repair...
Yeah, I agree with the other lady. You're encouraging cheating. And what do you mean there's...
My wife would kill me. My wife would absolutely do away with me.
Let go of your fear. Let go of your fear. I'm telling you...
You're telling guys, I got a surefire way for you to cheat on your wife and still have your wife stay home.
I kind of resent the way you put...
No, that's exactly the cheap, carny way that it is.
That's exactly what it is.
What is wrong with knowing a woman who is so loving that she will forgive your cheating on her if you bought her breakfast at IHOP?
All
right, both of you guys are insane.
There you go. That's call number 18, and I dare you to find a funnier line in the history of radio than, I can teach women how to forgive you for a short stack. I mean, I don't care. I think it's funnier than hell. In fact, it is funnier than hell. If you don't find it funny, let me just go into my insecurities here. No, I'm just kidding. All right, now, call number 17, Father James McQuarters. Father McQuarters is a character we created during the sex scandal, sex abuse scandal with the priests. And Father McQuarters is very Irish, very traditional. In other words, it's the real stock Barry Fitzgerald Irish accent that we lay out here. In this call, Father McQuarters is talking to us about a retreat that he has for boys called Soldiers for Peace. It teaches young boys that war is not the answer. Bush has boys convinced that it's right to go and get shot. But Father McQuarters and his very good friend Father Staley show them through tender care that war is bad, peace is good. Here's call number 17. Father McQuarters.
Father?
Hello, this is
you may be against the war and you may be for peace and be well-intentioned, but I have never heard of anything so ridiculous in my life, and I think that neither the Pope nor any of the bishops would sanction it.
All we're doing, okay. Are you Catholic?
Yes, I've been a Catholic for 74 years.
Would you like me to bless you in the name of the Father?
No, I would not, Father.
Okay, I would say to you this, that we are trying to keep the war from shattering the lives of young men.
And that is not an appropriate way to do it.
It's appropriate because we're trying to
pray together.
It's a boot camp for peace.
Father, you can pray together.
We do pray together.
I don't think that you have to shower together.
We shower together as a baptism. And
yes,
then hand in hand, naked
before
the eyes of God.
I don't think Jesus did it naked.
Do you think God would be offended by the naked form of a boy?
I think Jesus would not shower naked with a boy.
Do you think God
And I don't think that it's an appropriate way to solve the peace problem. If you are against war, there are many more ways. Prayer, for instance.
Absolutely, Kay. We do pray.
Okay,
but pray.
Father.
But, Kay, did your husband go off to war?
Yes, he did, Father.
Did he lose any of his parts?
He was injured.
All right. Did he lose any of his scrotalia?
No, he did not, Father.
All right. Well, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for you.
Thank you,
and
Father.
And we do pray, but we pray with our clothes removed, naked before the eyes of God.
I don't think
it's
appropriate.
In the way that God created man in all of the glory of his nudity.
You could join a nudist camp.
But this is the idea.
This is what I thought would happen, Father. People are going to react to this in a very negative way.
This is the Catholic way, though.
No, it is not, Father.
Well, I don't know.
It's not the Catholic way.
Yes, it is, Phil. It's the Catholic way between priest and boy.
You guys have had so many problems with molestation, I would think you'd be frightened to death of anything that might even hint at it.
There's no sex involved. The only sex is in the mind of Kay.
This is not the Catholic way, Father. Goodbye, Father.
But if your husband had the chance to be at our retreat, he wouldn't be injured today, Kay. He never would have gone off to war and had the part shot away.
There's Father McQuarters, and he is probably... He's one of those characters that we developed whose time is sort of limited and his appeal limited to all things Catholic. So when the Catholics get in the news, we bust him out. Otherwise, he just sort of stays in his perverted little cell or wherever he lives. In that particular bit, and that was just kind of the tail end of the whole sex scandal with the priests. In that particular bit, Father McQuarters was talking about a retreat for boys and priests where they pray together nude. But there's no sex at all. It's just God created us in the glory of our nudity. And that's how it's going to go, man. So that's Father McQuarters. That's call number 17. We're going to be coming back with call number 16, obviously. And it's a character that I am totally, respect. He's a great guy. His name's Ted Bell. He owns Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. But this call is going to be unique to hear because not only is it Ted Bell, it's also a Lloyd Bonafide, another character we created, who is a Korean War veteran who owns a heating and plumbing business in Alhambra, California. The two of them together in call number 16 when we come back. Also, later on in the show, we'll hear from Margaret Gray, Vernon Dozier, Jay Santos, Steve Bozell. We got a lot of Jay Santos calls because he was so perfect during our time of stress after 9/11 to have Jay out there, you know, putting a flashlight up your ass or whatever it was that he did. Bobby Dooley, Bob Green, and Harvey Wireman, and others will be on our show today as we count down the top 100 calls of the last year here on this July 4th. And I know it's customary to say, I hope you're enjoying your 4th, but I don't feel like saying that. I don't feel like saying it at all. Many people like to say, I hope you're enjoying your 4th. I'd like to say, well, no, I hope you're not enjoying your 4th. But I just wanted to say that. When in point of fact, I really do hope that you're whatever. Now, don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, where you can go and check out a lot of merchandise. If you like Ted Bell, well, you can get a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, and the new Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt will be coming out soon, which will be celebrating the opening of the new Ted's of Beverly Hills in Honolulu. Also, if you like Jay Santos, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, there's plenty of gear there for you. If you're a Bobby Dooley fan, we got Bobby Dooley gear, including a beautiful polo shirt and, of course, the Western Estates Homeowners Association designed by Bobby Dooley spa robe. And that's selling like hotcakes. Who wears a robe now? Well, you better start, man. Because I'm telling you, this thing is a beautiful thing. So it's on our website, and as well, of course, our Best Of CDs, where you can hear a variety of these characters as well. And all the money we raise from the CD sale goes to My Friend's Place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. It's the Phil Hendry Show. It is our second annual Top 100 Calls of the Year show. And we'll be back with call number 16, Ted Bell and Lloyd, right after this.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Phil Hendry Show on the 4th here in the year 2003 and our top 100 calls of the year show. We do this every 4th of July. We feature the top calls that came into our show from unsuspecting, unprompted, unpaid callers who are actually talking to made-up voices, character voices that I do. In this next call, Ted Bell, the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, tells us that he bought $27,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies to send overseas to the American troops. He, in other words, is doing what Ted does best, talking about how great a guy he is. But he would like something in return, and that is to be vaccinated for smallpox first, to drive a nuclear submarine, and to be buried at Arlington Cemetery. But that's all. That's all he wants for buying 27 G's worth of Girl Scout cookies. What makes this call fantastic is that Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, and another veteran called the show to talk to Lloyd. Here's call number 16.
I'm a Navy vet. I was SEAL teams in Vietnam. I was also nuclear submarines right afterwards. The only people that get into Arlington Cemetery in any way are those who have earned the right. You have to have been active duty, but even now it is closed because it is full, especially with those who died for us in World War II, Korea, Vietnam. The man doesn't deserve to go there. To drive a nuclear submarine, right, you don't buy your way.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, the Girl Scouts is a private organization and quite honestly is sexist. You're not allowed to be in if you're a boy.
Harding, could you stay on the line with me? Because I've got another veteran. He's a Korean War vet. Is this Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd, how are you?
Yes, sir. Am I on the air now?
Yes, you are, sir. You're on with Harding. You're a Vietnam veteran, right?
That's correct.
Well, for the gentlemen's of Vietnam, first of all, let me say God bless you to the Vietnam veteran. I was with the United States Navy at Chosin Reservoir, Korea, 1952. And we helped the Marines off of the out of the reservoir there. And this piece of garbage that you're talking to right now, let me tell you something. If I was in the Navy right now with this guy, what we used to do with a guy like this is we'd leave him where we found him.
What's that supposed to mean?
You know what it means. We'd leave this guy where we found him, and as far as the Thin Mints, you could take your Thin Mints and you could shove them right back up your you-know-what. Hard-On, tell him what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this
His name isn't Hard-On, it's Harding.
I'm sorry.
Well, Hard-On, that's fine. That's what some of them called me.
Yes, sir.
I was a sniper up along the Ho Chi Minh Trail for a while, and then I, with the Navy SEAL teams, and then I spent the rest of the time in nuclear submarines, 2.5
really?
Years.
That sounds great. Oh, shut up.
And this guy who's, you know, thinks he's great because he sells Thin Mints. So what? I buy almost as many Thin Mints as he sells. Who cares?
Well, I'm talking about donating Thin Mints to our veterans.
Let me tell you something. Is your name Ted?
Yes, it is.
I'd leave you butt up with a flower in it where I found you.
Now, this guy, Arlington Cemetery is something where you have to earn it.
That's exactly correct.
The same thing with driving a nuclear submarine. It's like when people say, oh, the rich, they're lucky. No, they earned it. You've got to earn it.
Well, that's what I earned my money, Harding, and that's why I want to give a box of Thin Mints and the special peanut butter Mints to every veteran.
You know, if you mention Thin Mints,
you can give it to every veteran you want to, but
you
mentioned
it one more time.
Entrance. That doesn't get you entrance.
You let him know, Hinman.
Where people have given their lives. You can give their money
all
you want to. They gave their lives for their country, and the only people that deserve to be in there are those.
Well, that's true.
Arlington
Cemetery is a military cemetery for heroes.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
Mr. Hardman is saying the truth.
His name is Harding.
Is that Mr. Hartman?
Harding.
I'm terribly sorry. I've got a hearing problem that goes back a number of years.
Well, can you hear this? I think you're a real piece of crap.
Huh?
Well, there's Ted Bell and Lloyd Bonafide and Harding talking about the Thin Mints that Ted thinks earns him a free trip on a nuclear sub and burial at Arlington. On to call 15, Bobby Dooley, perhaps one of the greatest characters on our show. Bobby is the president of the Holborn's Association at Western Estates. He's on to talk about how filling SUVs with gasoline is supporting terrorism. People who drive SUVs are contributing to the cold-blooded murder of Americans. Of course, she has an SUV, too, but she needs hers. Here's caller 15, Bobby Dooley.
I wish he was really sorry, but I think she's doing that on purpose, which she's every time I go to talk.
I don't want to hear anything in the background, Bobby, okay? Let this man say what he has to say.
I am letting the gentleman speak.
Well, that's nice you called me a gentleman. I find that very refreshing instead of an old man.
Jesus.
No comments. So, let the man talk.
Are we ready? Phil, can I continue?
Would you like me to get a bugle for you, John, to sort of...
If you could stop talking with the interruption in the background, I might be able to say something. So anyways, I will attempt to say it again. And see, Phil...
What is that?
There is feedback. Because people who want to make a statement, and if they don't agree with the perpetrator,
then they will shout everybody else down, just like fascism. If you don't agree with the ruling body, then they try to shout you down.
Let me say this. Ms. Dooley, I'm going to have to put you on hold if you interrupt this man.
I'm sorry, Phil. I am not doing it on purpose. We are out here.
Oh, yes, you are.
No, I am not.
Oh, yes, you are doing it on purpose.
No, I am not.
It's amazing that when I talk, there's noise in the background, but when you're talking, then there's no noise in the background.
I noticed that, too. I'm going to put her on hold if it doesn't cease.
Can I continue now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, now my... There we go again. Always when I'm wanting to talk. There is no noise, but when I talk, there's tremendous amount of noise in the background.
I put her on hold. I put her line on hold, so you go right ahead.
Thank you.
All right.
Now, thank you very much. Now, I happen to drive an SUV. Now, we chose it because we would like to be able to... See, there's still noise in the background, Phil.
No, I don't hear it. It might be something on your end. Go ahead.
Thank you.
All right.
And anyways, as I stand and watch the traffic go by, and I see large cars, people want a large car. They like a rear-wheel drive vehicle. And the manufacturer is going to build and supply what the consumer wants. I am a manufacturer. I have a business. I manufacture a product that the consumer wants. It's in material what it happens to be. And there's a lot of whistling in the background.
Are you hearing whistling? Okay.
Yes, I do, sir.
All right, sir. Go ahead.
And as a result, the supplier, the manufacturer, tremendous amount of whistling. And I think it's totally discourteous that people are talking.
I have her on hold, sir, and I'm not hearing it. Is it possible it's on your end?
It possibly could be.
All right, go right ahead.
But it just seems like it's just when I'm trying to talk that it happens to crop up.
It could be something. Okay, go ahead.
And anyways, that...
Because I'm hearing you fine. I'm hearing you fine, John. There's no interference at all.
And people buy a product, and they want to be able to buy a product they want. The manufacturer will build that product in order to supply the people. And if you remember going back some years with a mink coat, now somebody decided that nobody should wear a mink coat. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir. I can hear you fine.
It's amazing that I get a tremendous squeal.
Can I ask you a question? You don't wear any kind of a hearing device or anything like that?
No, sir.
All right, sir.
No, sir. And so it was the same way with the mink coats.
Yeah.
Is that somebody decided that the mink coat people, the wearers, should not wear mink coats.
Uh-huh.
So this went through, and we're having the same scenario here, too.
Well, that's
true. That some people decide that we cannot drive something, and it's just like these liberal politicians in Washington. They sit in their ivory tower. They decide what we want to do.
Is he done yet?
Bobby drives an SUV, but I can't drive an SUV because her darling little children are so much better than my darling little children.
The fact is, John, you're killing Americans with your SUV.
You're killing Americans too, madam, because you're driving it. Put your money where your mouth is, lady. And if you really believe in that, and that might be, then get rid of your SUV and get a Pinto or get some kind of a small car. But it's the people like you who sit in your ivory tower and you want to legislate to us peons in the street.
Can I ask a question of Ms. Dooley?
Yes.
What is all that starting and stopping of the car?
We're having a hard time getting the car started.
Now, see,
you're having trouble getting a Cadillac started? Oh, my, Bobby, how disgusting. You're driving an SUV and it won't start?
Well, it's better than one that does start.
My view is just so terrible for you. You can't get your SUV started. Get rid of the damn thing and get a little car. I may want to drive a 30-year-old car. That's my decision. This is America. We have the freedom to make that decision.
Okay, can I say something now, John?
Now,
when you hear the car running in the background, that's because your conversation was so dull, I'm trying to kill myself with carbon monoxide right now. Thank you a lot.
An Escalante, as you have, is nothing more than a Chevy, the Chevy model with a Cadillac name on it.
I'm dying, John. Thank you.
So I'm really not sure what you're trying to prove. And then, Phil, do you hear a lot of noise in the background?
Yeah, she apparently has her car engine running. She's trying to asphyxiate herself.
Well, God bless her. Maybe that would be a big improvement for everybody.
She's dead, all right. Bobby Dooley, call number 15 from our top 100 calls of the year. Bobby asphyxiating herself with carbon monoxide. When we come back, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. This bit is nuts. Apparently, he was at a bar, and he predicted that Elizabeth Smart would be found. Now he wants the $250,000 reward. That's coming up when we return with call number 14 on The Phil Henry Show, top 100 calls of the year.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Go to our website, philhenryshow.com. You'll find the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police gear, jackets, mugs, hats. Jay Santos and Major Elvis Newton started one of these neighborhood watch groups that grew into an auxiliary police force. It's completely without any merit, completely without any accreditation, and the guy's a pain in the ass. But he's always on our show talking about different things, law enforcement or otherwise. He was on our show not too long ago, and he claimed that he was in a bar one night and predicted that Elizabeth Smart would be found. Now, he said everybody in the bar heard it, so they know that he predicted this. And he thinks because he predicted that she'd be found, he'd like the $250,000 reward. And he's also ready for any interviews. Here's Jay talking to a poor, unsuspecting caller.
Number one, I know for a fact the job of an auxiliary police officer. I am a police officer. The auxiliary police officer, he says he's the front line of police. Well, their job is to, whenever there's a crowd, to take crowd control, direct traffic, and bring the real police coffee, sandwiches, and donuts. Now, he says he predicted that she would be found alive.
That's true, sir.
All right, now, I'm going to make a prediction that everybody can hear on the radio. By the time your auxiliary post commander hears the BS you're trying to put over tonight, like the two you said are no longer on the force, guess what? You will no longer be there either.
Sir,
that's my prediction.
Major Elvis Newton was there the night that I made the prediction. It was 2 minutes before the wet T-shirt contest. I had turned to Teddy, or it was his half-brother, I don't know who. I was a little bit in the bag, and I will admit that. I fully admit that I had been drinking.
Well, I think, you know, and you're saying again your wife's on sedatives. Ain't no damn wonder she's on sedatives. It's a wonder your kids aren't. You have a good night.
She's on sedatives.
Think about what you're saying.
Because we've been robbed of the money and the right to go on the Disney cruise.
Yeah, right. I don't think your wife and your children, once they get old enough to understand what you're trying to do, that's going to be another prediction. They're going to say, who's my daddy?
Sir, we take a peek on the shoulder of the police. I'm sure it'll fetch you coffee. Can I ask you something? Do you have a theme song? What police force are you on, sir, if you don't mind me asking?
I am on the state police.
All right, sir. Do you have a theme song?
Do I have a what?
A theme song.
A theme song? What are you talking about? Do I have a theme song?
Does the state police agency that you're a member of have its own theme music?
No, they don't. No, they don't.
The Citizens Auxiliary Police does.
Well, what we do?
Well, we...
I mean, so that makes you so great you got a theme song?
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action.
Oh, my God.
It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers.
Or the citizens' auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Any more listen to that silly BS you're doing.
Sir.
Because I know what you do.
No,
you serve donuts and sandwiches to the real police. You have nothing whatsoever to do with law enforcement. Nothing whatsoever.
I'm just trying to save lives.
You have nothing whatsoever to do. You're sitting there telling people you're the front line of law enforcement. You have nothing, bud.
George,
you, like that one young lady just said, you are a wannabe, probably a Pinkerton guard around some facility. You are a wannabe police. I've run into too many like you.
You know, you guys...
Listen, this is it. You are a nut.
You guys,
if you think you deserve that kind of money, all right, if there's a reward put out for the prediction I just made about you will not be on that auxiliary police
I'll give you money. I hope I collect. Have a good day.
Well, sir, you don't have your own theme music, and that's the whole thing. Yeah, see, he doesn't have the guts. Think about those state police. They get to wear those big hats, and you know, so they can shove those big heads into them. So.
Jesus.
Plus, I get to wear epaulettes. Do you?
Times do I have to hear this?
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers,
or the citizens auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Lives.
Anyway, so that's Jay Santos with call number 14. Best part of that call is when he said to the guy, do you have your own theme music? And he goes, theme music? What do you mean by theme music? You know that's a real cop. What kind of a question is that for a cop? Excuse me, sir, where's your theme music? That was call number 14, and we got plenty more here on the top 100 calls of the year here on the 4th of July Phil Henry Show. Coming up, obviously, call 13. Another visit from Dean Wheeler and more discussions of Homeland Security here on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.
It's the top 100 calls of the year show, and we do this every year. This is our second annual, and it is our way of counting them down, baby. We're counting down the hits on a radio show that is quite frankly, probably 3, 4, 5 years ahead of everybody else in terms of what we do with radio and ultimately what we do with talk radio, which is one of the most overrated, overblown formats, I think, in the history of this business. So what we do is we make fun of it. More than make fun of it, we're very cruel, not only with ourselves, but with our callers. We move on now to call number 13. This is Dean Wheeler, a character voice that I'm doing. And you'll hear a caller talking to Dean, not knowing that it's me. Dean is doing his part for Homeland Security by monitoring his neighbors' comings and goings. He also goes through their garbage as an extra precaution. And we have a caller who feels that Dean is invading people's privacy, not helping Homeland Security. Here is call number 13.
I've been listening to the show since it started. There is not one thing, not one item that he has listed that I believe is doing any kind of good to the United States citizens. I think this guy,
think
and with all due respect,
I think it's
is,
very sad.
I think
it's very sad that you find excuses not to help this country. That I've been hearing nothing but from people who want to find excuses to do nothing for their country.
Dean, I'm going to listen to you, but please respect when I speak because we can't speak at the same time
all
because
right,
then we're not going to get our points across.
Go ahead.
I really think that your behavior is the one that needs to be monitored. It's extremely strange behavior.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing, going through people's garbage, is an invasion of privacy. I do not believe that when the President of the United States asks the citizens of the U.S. to be active in protecting our country, I do not think he meant for you to go up to children, ask them what their parents do, if they undress in front of them, to go through their garbage and see if a tampon's bloody or not. This is perverted behavior. You are having and doing perverted behavior.
Okay, your response, Dean?
I think, Phil, when the Nazis invaded Poland and went into France and eventually, of course, took over all of Europe, a lot of people thought that the individuals that wanted to fight them were paranoid. They soon found out that they weren't. Al-Qaeda murdered 3,000 people. Look at this. Why does a woman have 6 empty boxes of Vagisil? I would ask
it's
you...
It's none of your business! It's none of your business! If she's having sex 3 times a day or 10 times a day, that's none of your business!
Then what is my business when the president says, keep your eyes open?
You know what's your business? Okay, I'm going to tell you what your
president
is if you want to be active. If you want my opinion, I'll give you my opinion.
This is a straight couple. Here's a jar of Analyze. Why?
Dean, listen to me.
Oh, God.
I could completely understand if you see a guy across the street that is loading a bag of rifles into the back seat of his car, or all of a sudden is dressing all in black after 8 o'clock at night, and goes out for a couple of hours, comes back with unusual stuff in his back. I mean, that's okay. I could understand and relate to that. But going up to children, asking them if their parents undressed, going through garbage and having your children, which is what I'm concerned about, your poor little children doing your strange behavior.
I've got a teenage son who dates a young lady across the street, Lauren, and she's a nice girl, but he asks her questions, and that way he just asks her, what is your father and mother doing, etc. I think it's very innocent, and it's not what your country can do for you, it's how well that you can investigate and do what you can for your country, as John Kennedy said. I took those words very seriously, Cindy, when the president spoke them. It's been a long time, but I do love my country.
I love my country very much, but it's not admirable behavior what you're doing. It's strange, and I think most people will agree with what I'm saying. Your children are copying your behavior, and what you're doing is you're raising children that are going to be just as strange as you.
You call it strange. I can't get over the fact that Bill and Rebecca Wilson, two people that I've known, are using countless jars of Analyze, which is...
What? The lady asked, what difference does it make?
A straight couple using Analyze.
It doesn't.
Medicine cabinet, Cindy, how much of that would I find there?
Okay, listen to me.
No,
Dr.
I'm serious.
Ruth, listen to me, Dr.
A
Ruth. It's none of your business. It's none of your business how much people have checked, what their preference is. That has nothing to do with terrorist behavior.
Does this have to do with you thinking that this woman may be a man?
This is the way that terrorists infiltrate neighborhoods. Yes.
It is not the way. You know what? I disagree with that.
And if they're if they're homosexuals, which Al-Qaeda is notoriously homosexual, she takes off or he takes off the female clothing and they're going at it night and day. I mean, there must be 50 jars of Analyze here. Billy, why don't you count?
Do you have your son counting those jars?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you do your kid a favor and get him out of that garage so he's not counting jars of analies, Vagisil? Oh, my God.
God.
Oh, my God.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked. 3,000 Americans lost their lives, and I'm the only one taking it seriously.
Sir,
you're taking it real seriously. I feel real safe with you in my neighborhood, buddy.
I can tell you right now there's probably something in your garbage that you want to hide from me because the bone.
You know what? There's nothing in my garbage I want you to see. But you'll probably find a bunch of used condoms. How about that? Is that going to make me strange?
All right, Cindy, at the end of this life, when you go to heaven and you see the 3,000 souls of those people who perished on 9/11, what are you going to say to them?
Oh, that is dirty pool. Let me tell you something, pal. I was in New York on 9/11, on the anniversary. I saw those people.
3,000 people are dead, and I'm the only one counting jars of Adelies.
You know something? You mock those people.
How dare you?
No, how dare you? You mock them.
Exactly.
Thank you very much, Cindy.
Well, good. You finally said what she's been trying to spit out.
Well, there's Dean Wheeler, and that's call number 13. And by the way, that mechanical device here in the background was a conveyor belt that Dean was putting stuff that he found in other people's garbage on so he could x-ray it to make sure that it was okay. Dean Wheeler... And he cares about his neighborhood. Coming up next, Bobby Dooley will move on to call. Actually, you've got call number 12 here. Yeah, call number 12 is coming up in our top 100 calls of the year on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Back with the top 100 calls of the year. By the way, these will be posted eventually on our website. As of Monday, the top 100 calls will be in our archives on the website. What we specialize in on our website is our show and then selling merchandise. Our show and merchandise. So the only two things we care about, doing our show and then selling the merchandise. And, you know... There are actually radio shows out there that have websites, and you can't find any audio, or they'll have, like, three little clips. In other words, what's the point? Well, the reason why is because they don't have anything to put on the website. Their show is, like, nothing, so they got a website to promote nothing, I guess. Anyway, we got plenty of audio, and it goes back for years, and there's just tons of stuff, man. Now, coming up is call number 12 here in our top 100 calls of the year. And again, it's Bobby Dooley, president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Bobby would never have donated her clothes to a abused woman's shelter if she had known that they were going to an abused woman's shelter. She doesn't want to see those kinds of women in her clothes. Well, a caller called in to say that she was angry that Bobby and Steve are trying to get the clothes back from the abused woman's shelter. Here is call number 12.
Hi, there's not much I can't say that has already been said because your clothes are definitely dubious at best. But, you know, you are saying that you and your husband waited outside this battered shelter to go and see if these women were wearing your clothes, and then you corner them and he grabs them by the arm. Do you not think that's particularly bright? They've already been beaten up, which is why they are where they are. They're probably frightened to death. It doesn't help very much, does it?
Well, I don't know. Throw another shrimp on the Barbie.
Oh, what? Grow up.
There is something wrong with you.
What's wrong with me?
Shrimp on the Barbie?
Well, what are you? Aren't you from England or Australia?
Now, you think it's Australia, but yes, it's England. What the hell's got that got to do with anything?
That's what you're doing.
How shallow are you that you don't want people to wear your clothes because they have a black eye? And nobody gets with a guy. Well, yes, okay, some people may make wrong choices, but you can be with somebody and be with them for years before something happens to you. So you may one day have your comeuppance. And I hope you do.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm feeling a little misty listening to you because you remind me of Princess Diana.
Oh, really?
Yes,
oh, I
do.
Know. Well, I didn't really think about Princess Diana.
I don't mean Princess Diana in terms of her fashion sense. I just mean you sound like her.
Well, believe me, she had a lot better fashion sense by the sounds of it than you did. I mean, lime green. Oh, my God. Gingham green dresses with red boots. What the hell is that? What are you, Dorothy from freaking Wizard of Oz?
Excuse me, it's a beautiful dress.
If this stuff is so beautiful, why are you giving it away?
Because I don't want these women, when they walk out there with their faces caved in, because some guy threw them down some stairs, and then people say, oh, look, there's Bobby's dress. Oh, my God. Look at what's in it.
You missed what I just said. If you think these clothes are so beautiful, why are you giving them up in the first place?
Listen to this. Because obviously they're out of fashion. They're last spring, all right?
Oh, God forbid.
I have an
I'm surprised they even allow themselves to be seen in last year's fashion with a black eye at that.
So you're telling me a four-screen gingham dress with brick red cowboy boots from Laura Ashley?
It's laughable.
I beg your pardon?
It's absolutely laughable. Yeah, you may. People may know you from your fashion sense, and that will be because they're laughing at you in the street.
Hey, can I ask the lady a question?
Yes, Steve, what?
Did you say speed up, the paparazzi is catching up?
Oh, that's so
funny. That's really funny, man. That's
God,
really funny.
I mean, you really are a jerk.
You two deserve
each other, and you know what? I hope you're blissfully happy forever, because I feel sorry for any other person that ends up with either one of you two.
Do they have wife beating in England? Because I don't think you do.
And really? Why is that, then?
Well, you don't understand the problems we have in America.
Women are beaten here,
and then they have to go to a place. But we gave them spermicide.
Yeah, we got it. Menstrual sponges and everything else.
Oh, yeah, because after they've been beaten to crap by some arsehole man, the last thing they're going to want to do is go out screwing around with your spermicide. I mean, that's ridiculous. And as for the piano stool, my God. I mean, if you were giving them food or, like you initially said, pots and pans or stuff for their house they could use, a waffle iron. A saucepan, yeah, a waffle iron. Who bothers with that?
You're very judgmental.
Things that are actually of use to them. Spermicides and piano stools don't really do it for battered women, I wouldn't imagine.
You're very judgmental.
If you really want to help them, give them something useful.
You're very judgmental.
Judgmental?
Yes, you are.
It's coming from you. That's a classic.
Oh my goodness.
You're either doing this as a complete wind-up and you don't mean any of what you're saying.
Absolutely. That's my feeling.
The fact that there are people like you still out in this world
If you guys are for real on this.
Oh, Phil, so in other words, beating women is funny to you. You think that's a big joke? I don't.
Who says it's funny?
Well, you do. You think this is
the crap that's flying out of your mouth, I think you're either trying to make yourself seem something that you're not, because to think that you're actually meaning what you're saying doesn't give people much faith in humanity, does it?
Well, Karen, why don't you and Tony Blair go out and find some fun, okay?
God, you are like a child.
Man.
You're 38 years old, and the comments you're coming out with are asinine.
And did you ever eat a meat pie?
Educated. If you were educated, you'd come up with something better to say than that.
Yeah, really, absolutely. Some of these comebacks are a little stale.
They are, aren't they?
What do you mean, have you ever eaten a meat pie?
Anyway, that's all I have to say, because there's no getting through to people like you, so.
All right. Well, listen, we're sorry that we won the Revolutionary War, but...
Oh, brother.
Oh, my God.
Karen, thank you very much.
But I do want to say I do want to say this. I've got a wonderful mauve purple cocktail dress for sale. Karen, have you ever eaten bangers and mash?
No, I'm vegetarian. Well, if you know what one of those is.
Isn't bangers vegetarian?
No, it's a
sausage.
No,
bangers is pork.
It's puck?
Pork.
All right, thanks, Karen.
Okay, bye-bye.
Karen, thanks for John Lennon, but piss off.
That's the greatest closing line. Well, never mind. That was fantastic. Thanks for John Lennon, but piss off. That's call number 12, Bobby Dooley. It's just fantastic when we have Bobby on. She, of course, was talking about donating clothes to an abused woman's shelter, but in point of fact, she was giving them spermicidal sponges and a piano bench. Here is call number 11 now. It's R.C. Collins, and I wanted to tell you about this call because not only is it R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at a military academy, but he's joined by Commandant Harvey Wireman as they talk to a caller about how R.C. feels they should sandblast the names off the Vietnam Wall to make way for the new Iraqi veterans, himself included. And a caller tells Commandant Wireman he doesn't think that kid is representing the academy properly.
Did you say to this man that he was in the police explorers, yes or no?
Yes, sir.
You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to have you kiss the gutter's daughter. Take it below, Mr. Henry, for the makings.
I don't even know what the police explorers is. It must be some of those kid games that they play nowadays with 15, 16-year-old kids.
I think it's some kind of a molestation deal.
Well, if I may jump in.
Would you shut the hole under your nose?
No, it's Mr. Henry, Commandant Wireman.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
The police explorers, William, is a youth program that the police have. It's much like Boy Scouts, only it's run by the police.
Oh, well,
I
donate money to them every year for here in Florida.
How could you give them money when you don't even know what they is?
Would you shut the filthy sewer under your nose?
You mean what they are?
Huh?
You mean what they are or what they is? You can't even speak good English.
You don't even speak English very good.
Oh, yeah?
You said what they is.
No, it's
what,
no,
one
he was,
said what they is.
You said what they is. He's quoting it back.
Bend over. You're kissing the gutter's daughter.
No, sir.
Yes.
Well,
I did that with a. We use sugar cane, William. We can use a Raton cane on them, and we hit the bare end of their feet. I can tell you something. It doesn't leave a bruise, and it can certainly cause a great deal of pain, sciatic, all the way up the back.
Well, he's got enough sciatic. He needs.
What
to...
the hell is going on?
None of your business. Yeah, I love it.
He's a psycho, I think.
Good Lord.
You better get rid of that kid or else he's going to ruin your whole academy.
Hey, William, when you fought with General Lee, did you get a lot of that southern porn?
Okay, that's it.
Well.
Ah! There, you bastard.
I didn't serve with General Lee. I was from the north.
All right, now, William, we're going to take a drill to his nuts.
Faithfully.
Yes, sir. God bless you,
take
too.
That boy to the Vietnam...
Yes.
Or to the Vietnam hospital or to the VA hospital someplace and show him what those boys and men went through over there.
My mother made me lie with her every time she had her special orange juice.
All right, I'm taking a sandblaster to your gonads. Filthy-mouthed little piece of garbage.
You need to get rid of that boy out
Absolutely.
Of your family because he's going to ruin the rest of the good men
right.
that are there.
Hey, William, this is interesting. I have another veteran calling in. His name is Lloyd in Alhambra. Lloyd, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here, and I want to back up what William was saying in the Commandant. I served my country in the United States Navy as well, William. I was with the U.S. Navy at Chosin Reservoir when we pulled the Marines out of there in Korea. And I'll tell you something right now. This little... Oh, why did you get a piece of fat and slide off? Why, you fil... All right.
Shut the hole under your nose.
It's too bad that he has been raised the way he has.
Absolutely.
And
yes,
I believe really and truly that his parents are at fault, and they've gotten rid of him because he has this attitude, and he's probably a spoiled brat.
Hey, William, did you ever have to fight a dictator?
You mean dictator, you dumbass.
About dictators, I talk about dictators. You
don't speak good English.
Who do you think Hitler was?
A dictator?
No, he was a dictator, not a dictator, as you call it.
Yes,
you don't even know how to speak.
I am so ashamed of the fact that this young man...
What do you mean, a dictator?
Okay, that's it. I'm done with this foul-mouthed little piece of crap. That's call number 11, R.C. Collins, Harvey Wireman, and I didn't know, but Lloyd jumped in there, too, so that's a beautiful thing there. I don't know where to begin with that. That's call number 11. We continue to count down the top 100 calls of the year here on our July 4th Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with caller 10, Margaret Gray, right after this.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I just saw Donna Rice on TV, and she's an anti-child porn advocate now. Wasn't she the one that slept with Gary Hart, the presidential candidate? Now she's on television, and she's doing anti-porn. I don't understand the world anymore. Go out, commit a crime, go out and sleep with another guy's wife or another guy's husband or another guy's husband or another guy's wife, and you're on the O'Reilly Show. Of course, anytime O'Reilly gets a chance to talk about porn, man, he's all over it. O'Reilly, you are sick, dude. You are sick. Somebody ought to investigate you, man. I think that there's stuff. I think you have stuff in the glove box of your car that's a little ripe, if you know what I'm saying. All right, now, Coming up is caller number 10. This is Margaret Gray. Margaret's on to talk about her new book, 300 Years in This Country. She's related to Paul Revere, Dr. Frederick Banting, and Thomas Edison, so how dare anyone argue with her?
Yeah, I would just like to tell you that I think you are a racist.
Wrong.
And I know it doesn't matter what I say because
wrong.
You cut down every caller
well,
you have.
Wrong. You're wrong. I'm not a racist.
You know what? I think you need to be quiet and let me finish. You have cut down every caller that you have had on that phone.
Because
so you know what? Why don't you shut up?
1600s.
You know what? I don't really care. I have family that's fought in the war. I am part American Indian.
What boat did your family come over on?
My family came over in the 1800s.
Oh, get out of here. The 1800s?
Yes, my great-grandmother died here in 1988, and she was well over 100 years old.
You know what you look like to me with your
what
shoes
do I,
and
what
your
do
bad
I look
bag?
Like?
You look like a rube, a well-scrubbed hustling rube. Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you're not too much far removed from poor white trash.
You know what?
Oh,
you know
how
what?
The boys found
what
you,
is,
Tracy.
What is your contribution?
The boys found you,
what
Tracy.
What is your
with
contribution?
With all their sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars.
What? You know what?
All
then
you could think about
already.
Was getting
what
out, getting away, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the
you have no contribution.
No, she's nuts. No,
you
Tracy.
You had no contribution. If you want to be on a subcommittee for anything, it is about being a United States citizen, and it is about being a patriotic citizen. And you, lady, are not a patriotic citizen. Patriotism is about being united. It is about involving everybody in there, every culture, every everything. You are so far removed from anything that calls for.
What a rude, rude person. Tracy, I think you made a very good point.
You know what you look like to me?
And you want to know what you want to hear? Let me tell you what my contribution is to my country right now. Right now, I am a cancer care nurse. I am an oncology nurse. I work with people out of all races, all religions, and everything else who are horribly sick. That is what I do. That is my mark that I have left in my lifetime. That is what I go out doing, and I know that I am going out being the best person that I can be, and I am being a true American citizen.
Cancer came from the Indians.
You know what? And,
It came from the Indians.
Cancer probably came from all the shit that you brought over when you came from your European ancestors.
Please watch your language.
I'm sorry.
Know what you look like to me with your bad shoes and your good bag? You look like a rube.
Good.
A well-scrubbed hustling rube.
Good. You know what? Good.
Good nutrition.
You know what? Give me. You know what? You know what? You deserve. You need to come down off of your high horse.
With all the sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars, and all you could do, Tracy, was to dream, to get away, to get out, to get anywhere, to get all the way.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Jesus, is she psycho? Tracy, thank you for making some very
good
points. Oh,
you're welcome. You know.
What did the farmer do to the lambs, Tracy?
Try to have better guests on. You know,
yes,
she's just a piece of work.
What did the farmer do to the lambs, Tracy?
Margaret, that's caller number 10, as Margaret quotes the great line from Silence of the Lambs. And any chance we have to beat that into the ground, we always do it. You know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes? You look like a rube. All right. On to caller 9, Vernon Dozier. Vernon is a high school football coach and math teacher. He's also a guy who has, he's got problems with life. Things make him angry. He is currently in this call. Vernon is in conflict with his daughter. She doesn't want Vernon and his wife to take the grandchildren to Yosemite. And he can't stand how lazy the grandkids are. So I guess he wants to take them up to Yosemite to teach them how to chop wood or something. In any event, this is caller number 9, Vernon Dozier.
I put 32 years in the military.
In a mental institution?
No, military.
Well, I don't understand.
You don't know what the military is?
I don't understand how they let a guy like you in.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, this guy here with his grandchildren acting the way he is.
My grandkids are going to learn how to gut fish and clean them.
You son of a bitch! I wish I had you right in my hands right now.
Well, what would you do, make love to me?
Yeah, I'd make love to you, all right. I'd wring your goddamn neck, you rotten bastard. I've got grandchildren.
Oh, I doubt it. Like you
what?
Never, like, I don't think you have grandkids. Were you able to have children? I'm not sure.
You bastard, I put 32 years in submarines.
Yeah, well,
and I'll tell you right now, if I had you in my hands, I'd kill you.
You couldn't hardly breathe. You couldn't hurt me.
Yeah, that's right. I do have a hard time breathing.
That's
because I gave my life to the military.
That's because you said...
And I give it to my
grandchildren right now.
You spent 32 years breathing somebody else's farts in a submarine.
That's right. We did.
You breathe? Is this Jerry Stiller? I just want to...
Listen, I don't know who the hell you are.
Yeah, I don't either, Bill. This is some guy who's...
No, seriously, Jerry, is that you? Because I was at the Friars Club in New York and...
You don't belong at the Friars Club, you rotten bastard.
Well, neither does Jerry, if you want to really...
Okay. There's caller number 9, Vernon Dozier, talking about getting his kids to gut fish, etc., etc. Toughening them up. Caller 9. Now we move on to call number 8. This character is a guy named Larry Grover. Larry's an interesting cat because he was married with 4 children. But as the chairman of the Conservatives of Kern County, he was very obsessed with getting Clinton out of office during the 90s. He wanted to get that guy impeached. He obsessed over Clinton the way a lot of those guys obsessed over Clinton, to the point that he stopped making love to his wife, having any kind of a social life. He lost his wife, lost his kids, had to move in with his mother and sleep on a cot on the service porch, but he still is obsessed with the Republican Party and conservatives of Kern County. On this call, Larry claims that cheerleading is immoral and leads to the impotence of all men. His daughter is on the cheerleading team, which will only teach her to nag men. So cheerleading leads women into nagging. Here is Larry Grover talking to a caller who says, how dare you blame the cheerleaders for you not winning a football game?
You say you could have been for the Rams. You could have been before the cheerleaders messed you up, right?
That's right. This one turns around. Well, what is she doing saying, get it in the end zone? Like, I don't know.
If you're such a good athlete, why the hell are you turning around listening to them instead of getting it into the end zone? Obviously, you shouldn't have got it in or the Rams would have had you.
She's trying to confuse me. I know that
they
want... The
cheerleader on the sideline that's trying to help your team, encourage your team to go on.
That's right.
They're trying to confuse you.
Yes, because they're idiots.
If you're such a good football player, you should be knowing enough to get it into the end zone without having to turn around. Obviously, you've got some kind of psychotic problems wanting to turn around and yell at a girl trying to help you out.
Let me ask you a question. There's two end zones in football. If you're familiar with football, there's two end zones.
Yeah, but obviously if the Rams wanted you, you should have been a good enough player to know which end zone to run to.
But when she said get it in the end zone, it momentarily stopped.
Well, wait a minute. Season's making a point. If your team's driving in one direction, defense is playing in one direction, and you get the ball and you hear the cheerleader say get it in the end zone, how was that distracting?
Because it's nagging. Nag, nag, nag. Get it in the end zone. Kick the ball. Do this. Do that. In one of the games, I turned around and I simply said, would you please just shut up for a minute?
That's their job. That's their program. You're in the football program. They're in the cheerleading program. You know, you've got these girls going to championships because they're good at what they do. You don't see the Dallas Cowboys firing their cheerleaders, do you? No. Obviously, they want them there.
No.
If you're such a good football player, you've got to run to your own end zone.
But wait a second. How do I know which one is my end zone when I got some nagging little pigtailed pleated skirt guy? And she's telling me, go to the end zone. Go. And I said, well, which end zone is it?
And if you think your daughter's a sex symbol, obviously, man, that's something's crazy there.
Wait a minute.
Something's
hold on.
Not right.
Are you trying to tell me that I got the hots for my own daughter? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm trying to say, obviously, in her age group, you're watching these people, you know, and you're saying they're a sex symbol. Obviously, they're turning you on.
Season, if I'm watching you and you go up in the air and your skirt goes up over your head, what, do you want me not to look at your buns?
Yeah, I want you not to look at your daughter's buns.
I'm not looking at my daughter's buns.
Then why do you think she's a sex symbol? Teenage boys are going to look at what they're going to look at, man. They're not out there. All the fans and the people your age watching their kids play football are not out there watching your daughter's ass. They're watching the football game. And if they're watching your daughter's ass, they're sick. Your daughter's out there having fun doing what she's enjoying. You shouldn't try to take that away from her. If you loved her, you wouldn't take that.
But I don't want her to yell out, put it in the end zone, and some poor guy is going to go, which one? And the next thing you know, she's destroyed a man's life.
The man's life having fun. If the man was a good football player, he would know which end zone to run to. Obviously, the Rams didn't want you because you didn't know which football end to run to.
Wait a second. When my daughter was out there, it was 2 weeks ago, and we were playing Valley Christian, and she yelled,
push him back, and the defense said, would you please just shut up? We know what we're doing.
Don't you understand what a cheerleader is supposed to do, sir? They're supposed to encourage the team.
It's like mother when she tells me to turn right when I'm already turning right. It's like my ex-wife saying, is it in? When I'm already having sex with her.
You let people bother you way too much. You let people bother you way too much, and you can't expect to move your teenage daughter, that's a cheerleader, obviously has got something going for her, because where I'm from, cheerleaders, you know, are pretty popular and stuff like that. You can't imagine her to move out of her home with her mother to a porch.
Now I know what
you think about telling your teenage daughter she has to move to a porch with your mama.
Season, you got to watch your language.
Yeah, did you hear the language on this child?
Just hold on.
Right. First of all, I'm sleeping temporarily on a cot on the service porch, but we're clearing out the garage, so we'll bring in sleeping bags for the kids and a Bunsen burner.
Sleeping bags and a Bunsen burner for a teenage cheerleader girl that probably wants to go out on dates and have a good time and keep her popularity. You're trying to ruin her life, Dad. You're not trying to help her.
That will end. No more cheerleading, because I'm not going to have my daughter standing on the sideline and saying things like, and let me quote directly to you, Season, the hoop is hot, make that shot. What's that supposed to mean?
The hoop is hot, make that shot, put the basket in the goal. She's not meaning take me out after the show, you know? Come on. She's trying to cheer for her team.
What's this? We want it up, we want it in. That is humiliating to any man that hears it.
Oh, come on. Dude, it's humiliating to you because you have some kind of weird complex about your baby girl. She's having fun doing what she wants to do.
Well,
man.
I don't want her showing her buns to just anybody.
There it is, Larry Grover, a real sick, twisted bastard, and that's call number 8 of our top 100 calls of the year. We're counting it down to number 1, so stick around for it, baby. Call number 7, and Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police teams up with Lloyd Bonafide in this next call when we return on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Here's call number 7.
I'm retired military. I did over 20 years in the military.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, Semper Fi to you. I'll tell you what. I drive a van. I just had it painted. And if I go to one of your flare drops and you try and put a belt sander on it, there's going to be a problem and you're going to have it.
Sir,
you ain't searching nothing.
Sir, it's a belt sander that is industrial use. Now, you just had the car painted. Why?
Because it had scratches in it, you creep. You touch my car, you search my car, or you touch anybody in my family or me, and there's going to be a problem. There's going to be a citizen's arrest, and it's going to be you getting arrested.
Sir, I got to ask you this time. Do you own a sniper gun?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. I got a souvenir from Vietnam. You got a problem with that?
All right, let's put that together. You got a sniper gun. You're a Vietnam vet, which could mean some mental imbalance. I'm not saying...
What are you talking about, mental imbalance?
You know our Vietnam vet, sir, came back a little cracked, messed up in the head.
Oh, I see, because I served my country, I'm messed
up
in the head.
Yeah, that is absolutely unfair. 99.9% of our Vietnam vet...
Come on, Phil, you know the stories. You've read the newspapers.
Yeah, and did you ever look at that? I'm just telling you, if I pull up to one of your flare drops,
okay,
you try and put a belt sander on my vehicle, you're going to eat the flare, and then you're going to be arrested.
Mike, I want you to stay on the line because you're a veteran. I got another veteran on the line here.
Yeah.
Hold on. Lloyd, is this you?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd?
First of all, I want to echo everything that Mike has said, and I was just listening to this fella. And as a fellow veteran, if this bastard touched my Winnebago, I would, oh boy, you don't even, and I did 3 years in the Korean War, sir.
And you gentlemen are threatening me.
You listen to me and you listen good. You put a sander on my Winnebago, which my wife and I use once a year to go to see my daughter-in-law, in Portland, Oregon, and I will tear your eyes out, and I will have sex with your skull. And
all right, sir. I mean,
that's how strong.
See what I'm talking about? And this is the thing that I've got to put up with as a citizen.
No. You,
what?
You got it wrong. We got to put up with people like you.
We got to put up with you, you piece of garbage. And you know what we used to do to guys like you in the service?
Yeah.
We'd Vaseline up their rear end and go ahead and go to work on them. One after the other. Isn't that right, Mike?
Wait a second, okay?
You see, I was called a faggot. And then so,
well, you are a faggot.
Well, wait a minute. You're talking about...
Yes, that's right. We'd sodomize a man.
Not me.
Well, gentlemen, I can assure you that I sound like I'm probably a little bit younger than both of you. I think I can handle both of you, no problem.
That's a good one. Buddy, you put your hands on me, and you'll pull back two bloody stumps.
Okay, now I'm a fag, and I'm going to have my skull sexed. Anything else, gentlemen?
You know what I got in my garage? I got a machete that I got in right after the Chosin Reservoir. One of the Marines gave me a machete. And you want to see it?
Okay, we've got enough violence going on here.
Well, these guys are talking about hurting me. And...
Well, but you're pulling over and you're belt sanding their car. You detained a woman for 4 hours.
She called me a faggot. She called Sub-Commander Bill Nugent a faggot. She called Major Elvis Newton a faggot. She said that we all look like faggots in our fairy-ass pith helmets.
Do you want to be a police officer?
I am a police officer, sir.
No. You want to be
police.
A certified police officer.
I'd poke you in the rear end. That's what I do.
No, you want to be a certified police officer.
Sir, I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We save lives.
I'm asking, do you want to be a certified member of the police force?
Are you meaning that have the cars that get to ride in the
what
cars?
What I'm meaning is to go to the police academy and become a certified police officer.
And can be in a car
with real cops.
Why don't you answer the man's question?
I don't think. There's too much politics involved.
In the police force?
Yes, sir.
No. Please. Now, I'm trying to be reasonable with you.
I'm being reasonable, too, sir. There's far too much politics. All we're trying to do is save lives.
Saving any lives by sanding my car.
You're not going to save your life, because if you put a belt sander on my car, I will drive over top of you and every member of your family.
All right, I got to get the address of both of these gentlemen, Phil, if you have enough time.
What for?
I've been threatened by both of them. I need their addresses.
Don't give any address.
I'll give you my address.
Don't do it.
I want to give her my address. You want it?
Yeah, go right ahead.
123 Ass Kick Street.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-868. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to our Top 100 Calls of the Year show. It's a special show we do every July 4th on the Phil Hendry Show. We count them down, baby. The Top 100 Calls, or in this case, we say it's the Top 100 Calls. In point of fact, it's only 19 calls, but that's all you can put into a three-hour show. We are in the home stretch. We're right at the end. We're all of that baloney. We're getting ready to count it down to number one, and we start off this hour with call number six. It features a character that we invented named Steve Bozell. Steve came from Knoxville, Tennessee about 5-6 years ago with his family. And ever since then, living out on the West Coast, life just seems to screw with him. He's got a next-door neighbor that makes a fool out of him. He's got children that make a fool out of him, a wife that makes a fool out of him. It doesn't keep Steve from trying to sue everybody. Now, Steve doesn't really know what's happening in Washington, D.C. with the sniper issue. You remember when the sniper was in Washington, D.C. and was shooting people? He couldn't understand the news about it because he thought the media was using big words.
I'm not a college-educated man like this lady is, and you
are. I am not college-educated. I graduated from high school in 1952.
All right, now
so I'm 50 years ago and have not been back to school since.
Okay, but where...
And I know what sniper is. I know what utility vans are. I know what a beltway is without even going to a dictionary. I got that much.
Because
sense.
You're a woman and you know it's a sanitary napkin, but as a man, I don't know that.
I did not say a beltway was a sanitary napkin. A beltway is a road around the town.
You're saying you're claiming it's a road around someone's town?
That's right.
Ma'am, where'd you get your PhD? What, you, you
I did not.
College.
I don't have a PhD.
Well, where did you go to college is what I'm
asking. I did not go to college. That's so what I say.
Right,
I finished high school.
You didn't graduate.
That's all, but I've got more sense than you seem to have had.
Ma'am, I have two children, Steve Jr. and April.
I've got three and two great-grandchildren, too.
All right.
But
and
that
they...
doesn't mean that I'm stupid like you claim and everybody in the nation is.
Ma'am, when they said Chief Moose, and they don't tell you it's going to be a police officer.
Well, I know who what a chief is.
You know what a moose is.
I know what a moose is.
Okay.
But I know when the two are combined, it doesn't mean an animal.
It doesn't mean a cartoon character?
That's no, it does not.
What does head moose mean?
Head moose?
Yes, ma'am.
A head moose is a head of an organization.
What?
Of the Moose Club.
Of the Moose Club, right, okay. So now we're getting closer to what I've been talking about.
Well, I know that, but that, that don't mean that
we have... Ma'am, I've got two moose clubs in the Corona, California area. I moved here from Knoxville, Tennessee. The head moose, and I called him, what would you think if I said the chief moose, and he said Bullwinkle. Okay?
I didn't say. A head moose and a chief moose is something different.
All right, but the head moose is the head of a moose club. The chief moose could be Bullwinkle. Am I right or am
I
wrong? No. Oh, come on, ma'am, because...
No.
Chief moose could never be Bullwinkle.
No.
All right,
when
ma'am.
You say Bullwinkle, it's just Bullwinkle. It's no title to his name.
He does not have any title.
No, Bullwinkle is Bullwinkle. He never was called the Chief Moose.
Okay. All right. I stand corrected.
I hope you are, because like I say, the average American in this United States is not what you are portraying them to be.
All right, I'm a member of the Corona California Mooses, and I thought the Chief Moose was the head of the head moose.
No, he's the head moose.
But the Mooses of America may have an argument with you on that.
What do you mean, the Mooses of America?
It's an organization, sir. The lady knows about it.
I also know about the Elk Club, too, but
I get violent when I hear Elk Club. No, Mooses of America... All right. Okay, so I'm good.
You're good.
Yeah. Now, one other thing. Do you think Peter Jennings is trying to make me look stupid?
No. It's you that's stupid because you don't understand the terms and you did not take the time to go look them up or try to find out what they meant.
Now, you went to the University of Georgia?
No, I did not.
What year did you graduate?
She never went to college. She went to high school in 1952. She just said.
Well, a moose can kick an elk's ass.
There it is, Steve Bozell. Boy, well, that's a great call to start the hour with. The whole semantical thing about Chief Moose back during the sniper scare in Washington, D.C., and he's got that lady saying, Bullwinkle is just Bullwinkle. That's caller number six, call number six of our top 100 calls of the year. We're getting close to number one. Which one will it be? Well, we'll find out this hour here on The Phil Henry Show. Stay tuned. Coming up next... Another call from Margaret.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Right, we're coming down to it, baby. The number one call is coming up. We're at call number five of our top 100 calls of the year. Then, as soon as we play number one, I will get in my car, go home. My wife and kids are gone. I'll just sit alone and drink beer with the cats. So, just thought I'd say that because, I'm lonely. I'm lonely and never mind. All right, call five, Margaret Gray. She wants a pre-Amber Alert for certain children who go missing, including her son Jason, because some kids have money-making potential, more money-making potential than other kids. Here's Margaret.
Okay, I just want to address this lady that is advertising her son so highly. There have got to be perverts listening. Any idiot that can go out and get a crisscross dictionary is going to find you, and your son may be gone just because of his cute
ass. Not if there's a pre-Amber Alert.
I have 10 children, 17 grandchildren. grandchildren. I never advertised any of my children like that. And three-quarters of them went to Montessori. As long as you have the money to get them in there, they can go.
What are they doing
they
now?
They don't have to be bright.
What are they doing
I
now?
Have a 163 IQ. I would never talk about my children on the radio the way you have. Shame on you.
What am I saying that isn't so? I said my son's brilliant. He's smart. He's got a
3.0. Oh, keep it up.
He's
some
got a
idiot. Some idiot will hear you, and then you'll be finished. You'll be done with your problem, and you and your husband
we'll
can go about your affairs.
And we'll be waiting for him.
Because obviously you don't want to keep your child intact.
And we'll be waiting for him. Don't you understand, old woman?
Why don't you just advertise him in the meat market?
Lady.
Shame on you.
Oh, you don't know your ass from 40 cents a week. I'm talking about...
Well, that's why all 10 of my kids are alive, and the 17 grandchildren are just fine.
All
my kids don't go around flaunting their children.
Right. And how much oil did your boy sell last week?
What are you talking about?
Because I think I saw one at the gas station.
Look, here's the
No, my dear. No.
Here's
they sell million-dollar yachts and things like that.
All right,
they're
very successful, huh, Kat?
Your IQ must be really, really low because nobody would put their child on the air like that.
My IQ is 121.
Oh, well, that's too bad because mine's 163 and the average of my children is 135.
They lie about those
things. Your child is probably, if you did his homework for him, gee, he's got a 3.0 something.
Let me ask you something. 10 children? How many fathers did that take?
Okay,
three of them.
Now
three
we're
of
getting...
them.
Three of them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Some of them died. My husband's died.
Well, I don't doubt it. You probably killed them.
Maybe. I sure as hell wasn't a good cook.
Well, I wouldn't think you'd be a good cook when you're spending all your time on your back.
All my children could write their own names before they went in school. They didn't go in pre-kindergarten or kindergarten either.
You haven't closed
your
legs.
And I cried when the summer was over because I loved them. And I sure as hell wouldn't have. Oh, I had to fight with them to keep them from wearing bikinis when they rode horseback. They're all excellent horsemen. Isn't that something? Can your kid do all that?
Well, head him up and move him out.
Ladies, we've sort of
listen to the talk show host. He can't even do a show. You know, what's the name of your eldest
son?
It's
really hard to do a show when you've got an idiot on the air. You're supposed to be able to talk sense.
Listen, I could write my name if it was Cat. And by the way, how do you spell that?
Well,
how do you spell your name?
Put an ad out. Put your name in it and your phone number and everything, and make sure that they know that your son has a beautiful ass, and then somebody will take him off your hands for you, and you will be free again.
Look, Mrs. Clampett, when you go out to the cement pond...
Okay. Can we perhaps get some...
No, seriously, how do you spell your name? Kat, how do you spell your name?
You don't know?
You're afraid to spell your name because you probably misspell it, don't you? Go ahead. How do you spell it?
Let's see. Wait a minute. I have to wait until one of my kids gets in from their shovel to the moon.
Yeah, call your kids in
so that they can remind me. I forgot.
Yeah, that's right. Ask one of your kids how to spell cat. And when he's done, ask him to spell his name.
Yeah, but they haven't get off the shuttle yet. They're out there making sure the moon stays in orbit.
Off the shovel?
The shuttle. Shuttle.
Oh, the one from the airport. Good for them.
Oh, you've got a doozy on this time. I'll tell
you
what, I'm
really
sure that
nuts,
I'm not the only one whose blood pressure went out of whack.
I'll tell you this much. I love my son, and I'm protecting him.
Oh, yeah, I
can see.
Your
kids are out running around on a shovel and a shuttle or whatever the hell it is they do.
The space shuttle. The space program.
Space.
Oh, she doesn't know about that.
Oh, I know
about
space,
because she only knows that the moon's going to crash into the Earth.
You know, that happens to be something that scientists are worried about. And if we can keep these children alive, we can keep the moon from hitting the Earth and then colliding into the sun.
Your kids are probably going to do nothing but sit around and look at themselves in the mirror.
And what are your kids doing? They're digging ditches or running the shuttle from the airport.
None of my kids dig ditches. None of them dig ditches.
What space is that, between the ears? At least my kids don't ride horseback naked with a shovel.
All right.
What?
First they're riding bare-assed on a horse, and now they're in the space shuttle. Whatever.
All right, Kat, I think you made some good points because you...
I hope so.
Thank you very much for your call.
I hope nobody else advertises their children on the air.
I know you love your children, but I love mine more. I love mine more than you.
There is Margaret Gray talking about her son, Jason J. Delmonico, and he needs an Amber Alert more than other kids because this kid is a star. Coming up now is caller four, and this is Vernon Dozier, our high school football coach. He's just like a favorite of mine because the guy is constantly on edge, constantly with a problem of hypertension, constantly ready to just bust a vein. In this particular moment with Vernon on our show, he talked about Martha Stewart and how she sticks her nose in everywhere, making women feel things aren't good enough. She has affected his marriage, as a matter of fact. His house looks, quote, gay, and now his poker buddies think he's gay. A caller tells Vernon he's obviously not secure in his manhood.
Hey, Mr. Dozier, I think you have a serious problem, but I don't think it's with Martha Stewart. I think it's with your wife. I mean, if you're supposedly...
What are you talking about, my wife?
If you're supposedly the man of your house, the way you portray yourself...
That is correct.
...football coach...
That's correct.
You should just tell your wife enough is enough. I mean, you need to put your foot down and just say that.
Wait a minute, are you married? Are you married, sir?
Yes, I am. Happily married for 16 years.
All right.
I have three beautiful children.
Your wife
and my wife
chimes
does.
Out. Does she my make wind chimes out of coconut shells?
No, but she does a lot of stuff that Martha Stewart shows.
Like
and
what?
I mean,
give me an example.
What?
Just I want to know how you react to it as opposed to me. Give me an example of what she does.
She does the potpourri. She has the bed skirts. I mean, it's part of being a
right,
lady.
Can I
but
ask
if
you
it's, no, no, no. You hang on a minute. If it bothered me, if I was so insecure in my manhood like I think you are, then she would stop out of love for me. And if I was doing something that bothered her and that enough to mention it, then I would stop out of love for her, not as far as being gay or anything else. I mean, if it's your house, then just say, you know what, enough is enough. Enough for Martha Stewart. I'm so insecure in my manhood. It's draining my manhood. I mean, if Martha Stewart drains your manhood, you have no manhood to drain.
All right, hold on. I listened to you, Johnny, and I appreciate what you're saying. But you got to understand what it's like. I don't know how long your wife's been watching Martha Stewart. But
for about 10 years.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. Has your wife ever floated a candle in a punch bowl?
Yes, she has.
Oh,
and
come
we made passionate
no.
love after that.
No, bull crap. I can't
no,
buy
you're
it.
Full, you are full of crap.
How do you
feel? You need to cut your mother's apron strings and grow up.
You're
I
telling
mean,
me that your wife floated candles in a punch bowl and you made passionate love after that.
I sure
That's
did.
What he's
probably conceived my son. I mean, my God, man, come on.
I was watching a
You were probably watching some. I think
no,
you're
no, listen gay. To this. I'm not gay.
I think you are.
Yeah, why? Hey,
because,
I was watching a Savannah
porn
movie.
Because you are intimidated by Martha Stewart.
I'm not intimidated by Martha Stewart. I'm intimidated by that woman
you hurt.
Let me ask you a question. I'm watching a Savannah porn movie, and you know who Savannah is.
Yeah, I
and
know who Savannah
as
is.
As soon as I smelled my wife's gingerbread cookies, the chubby goes away like a squirrel down a hole. Now, how do you figure that?
How do you figure what?
I think you're gay. I think you're
I'm
gay.
Not, my wife is
you
trying to...
You need to be watching
Stewart.
John Holmes is what you need
hey,
to be
let me
watching.
Tell you something. Hey, pal, Martha Stewart's trying to make me gay, and she's trying to do the same thing to you. And
no,
if you
she's
had a,
not.
No,
I mean,
she's not.
Thing is
you're
this.
Telling me that you got candles floating in a punch bowl, and you're not, and you don't see that as being gay?
Hell no, my wife put them in there. It helps her get into the mood, not me. My wife puts me in the mood, so if she is passionate, then I am passionate. You, I don't know what your damn hang-up is. I mean, you got some mental issues, but you're hung up in denial.
I'm not in denial. Look, I don't like guys,
yes,
okay?
Yes, you are. No, you right. are in denial. I'll tell you what. I think I know why you're a football coach, and your players need to be worried.
So you're taking it personally now. You're taking it personally, aren't you, Johnny? Because
no, I'm not taking it personal.
Yeah,
I think you are wasting everybody's time by calling the show and whining like some baby.
I think you're right, Johnny.
Oh, I think you're right, Johnny. So the host is now agreeing with...
Look, I put your call
no,
on the air,
the
okay?
Host, the host is a man.
You
are a mouse.
You know something?
when your wife starts saving snowballs so that she can create ice sculptures, you give me a call and tell me if you're able to...
I don't have to worry about that. I live in the South where men are men. I have no idea where you're from.
Excuse me, and I don't mean any offense by this, but I saw a movie called Deliverance, and I don't think...
Exactly.
Yeah,
it was filmed in Tennessee on the Atlantic River.
That's down south as far as I know.
Actually, it's not. It's in Tennessee.
Oh, that ain't the South?
No, not as far as I'm concerned. South is Louisiana, Texas, you know, Georgia. How about them Georgia people?
And there's no guy smoking pole down there. Give me a break.
Where are you from?
Okay, look at...
I come from California. I come from California. And I'm going to tell you this. Every shoebox and empty tin can has been decked. Look, if you call me gay, you call me gay one more time, and I'll get my truck warmed up, and I'm on my way down to whatever garbage pit you live in, down there in Cracker Barrel,
Now you're taking it personally, exactly.
Okay, but this guy, how can you say men will be men when even the possums are afraid when your boys walk up, okay?
You're showing your true educational value right
there. I'll be gay, and I will slap you into submission.
All right.
I'm going to tell you, that doesn't even warrant a reply. You are simply a loser.
There it is. Vernon Dozier, call number 4 from this year's top 100 calls of all time. Vernon Dozier, who has just had it with Martha Stewart. And, of course, this was well in advance of Martha Stewart eventually getting indicted and having her freedom at stake. Saying that Martha Stewart, with the potpourri, floating candles in a punch bowl, with making a wind chimes out of coconut shells and all of that stuff, is siphoning his manhood away. So we are down to our final 3 calls, and we're going to get into them in the next half hour. And we wonder what will be the number one call. Do you? Probably not. But we're just filling a little bit of time here. In any event, it's been a great 4th of July Top 100 show, and we've still got much, much more to come as we count it down to number one here. It's the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with the remainder of the top 100 calls of the year.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Counting down the top 100 calls of the year. You know, I was sitting reflecting on the show today and the many years we've been doing our show, and we just don't put any call on the air. I mean, we do our very best to put callers on the air that are going to be entertaining for you, because after all, they're on the stage with me. And as far as informative goes, well, I'll do all the informing. Callers, they just need to be entertaining. So over the years, we put together a few of them, and if you go to our website, which is www.philhendryshow.com, we have hours and hours and hours and hours of archived comedy material from our show. We have full shows in our 30-day archive, so you can go back 30 days and listen to any one of the shows over the last month. And you got all of it for the backstage pass money of $6.95 a month. No, it ain't free. You're right. But, there's nothing free in life, and if it was free, it would be garbage. So anybody that puts their audio up on a website for free, obviously it ain't worth much. And by that, I mean, we've had our stuff bootlegged, we've had our stuff put on Napster, we've had our stuff put on Morpheus. I mean, so if it's that popular, excuse me, you'll pardon me if I, don't want to give it away. So, yeah, it's $6.95 a month, and that's just how it is. I mean, some cats may look at their stuff as giveaway stuff. We don't particularly see our show that way. Let me just continue talking about how bitchin' I am. Now, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, have I filled up the 3 minutes that you gave me here, Janice? All right, now, On to caller number three. Go to our website, though, philhenryshow.com. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is paying another visit here. Now, with the David Westerfield verdict coming through, that sick, twisted piece of garbage that killed a little girl in San Diego, Mr. Santos feels that all white men over 35 should have their behavior monitored just in case they get the same sick, twisted urge. The Citizens Auxiliary Police are taking a peek through neighborhoods looking for signs. Well, somebody called to say to Jay, you come around his house and take a peek, and there's going to be trouble.
Listen, let me start off by saying that I think that anybody who brings any kind of harm to a child, there must be an absolute special place in hell for them.
Well, you say that again, brother.
And it's just, it's absurd.
You can say that again.
But to have someone, who thinks that kind of mental illness is akin to a virus is an idiot. And I would love for you, sir, to come to my house and say you're going to play it my way or the highway or whatever it was that you said. I promise you,
Bob, let's talk about this for a minute. I have a way of, all I want to do is take a peek around.
Well, who in the hell are you, man? You know, to peek around. It sounds to me like you've got some real issues.
Sir, yes, I do have issues. I've got issues with these porn freaks take out kids.
Well, that's admirable.
Well, Bob agrees with you.
Welcome to the human race.
Right,
anybody
Bob,
who's got any sense at all feels
course,
the same way.
Of course.
But for you to have some sort of self-appointed, what are you, a major general or some such nonsense, come knocking on my door and saying, you're over 35 and I want to talk to you, we can do this way or that way. I snatched a knot in your ass.
I'd like to know...
Well, hold on.
No, I want to know, Jay, what's going to keep you from taking a rifle butt to the teeth? Or...
I'm not looking for a violent confrontation, Bob. We do have ways of entering the home where we don't have to have a confrontation.
How do you get into a man's home when he doesn't want you in there?
We could slip by the gentleman very quickly. There are maneuvers that we do at the door.
Absolute idiot. You are an idiot. And what's scary is that not only are there certainly people out there who are screwed up that we got to get off the street, we got folks who are, I assume, good intentions, but you are an absolute idiot, sir. And
sir, I don't know at the base you call me idiot, but I'm trying to do...
Just listening to you talk.
What I'm trying to do is keep people alive.
What you're doing is...
How do you get by a guy?
You're an egomaniac and one with... you're not even...
Sir, I'm a Brigadier Admiral.
You're a Brigadier Admiral in what?
What is...
Citizens Auxiliary Police, sir. We are aligned with six different volunteer police agencies. What we do is, in order to get into the home, we use a very simple maneuver. It's any school child known. It's called look over there maneuver, where we point somewhere and then you look and we get by it.
You're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot.
Sir, I've been in contact with members of the Illinois Industrial Track Footers who have had a lot of success with these door-to-door searchers. Well, what do you laugh at?
Because you're an idiot.
Listen,
I appreciate what you're trying to do.
Thank you very much.
I think that's absolutely
what we're doing. What's wrong with asking?
Who is concerned?
Yes, sir.
But what I'm suggesting to you is that what you're doing is not only misplaced, it's fairly...
Sir, what I would ask you is this: what is wrong with me simply asking you? Do you have a pair of Lycra bicycle shorts in the house?
let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
What do bicycle shorts have to do with that?
We have found...
That's the question I want to know.
We have found a medical and psychological profile of a lot of these kid porn freaks. And these freaks get the kicks killing kids. And some of these things match up. Some of these behavioral patterns match up.
You better be careful. If you look closely, you may very well find that they also drink milk.
Well, sure, that's ridiculous.
Well, of course it's ridiculous.
You know,
as is bicycle shorts, though. I appreciate what you're trying to do.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I appreciate what you're trying to do, but...
Like I said, Bob, you're really
misguided.
Well, I'm
suggesting to you that were you to come to my neighborhood and try and get in my house, I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Well, I respect
son,
your service.
I would harm you. And not only would I harm you, I damn sure wouldn't answer any of your questions. I would not mind talking to...
Sir, I will tell you, I honor your...
Any police officer or that sort of thing, that'd be fine.
Well, Bob, I honor your service.
Good to help.
I honor your service to our country, Bob.
Yeah.
But like I said, we can do it the easy way or do the hard way.
Well, you don't know what the hard way is, sir. You come to my house and try and get in my house, I'll show you the hard way.
Well, let me ask you a question. If I said look over there and you looked and I got by you...
Are you an idiot? Are you an absolute idiot? You just do not live in the real world.
Sir, I don't understand.
What do you mean, look over there and I get by you?
All I want to do is take a peek around.
That's all Jay ever wants to do is take a peek around, and he winds up getting threatened with serious bodily harm every time because he is an idiot. That's call number three. Now here comes call number two on our top 100 calls of the year. Bob Green is a grocer. Now, he's upset. His good friend Jerry has been arrested for a crime that he committed 30 years ago. Jerry is a good man and a hell of a soccer coach, even though he raped and murdered two teenage girls. Harvey Wireman is also Mr. Green's criminal attorney, and he's on to discuss the details of this case. It's Bob Green and Harvey Wireman in call number two.
How are you going to break a guy's castanets now for something he did then?
This is more than breaking some guy's balls. This is about a double homicide. It was a rape. It was torture. It was a 30 days worth of torture.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
Okay. Your point is what?
My point?
He was supposed to come between judge and jury, and that's all.
But I want to be clear. I did not put the underwear in the plastic bag. He did. He asked me to put it in my refrigerator.
Why?
Do I answer that?
Please answer it, yes.
I should answer that. He let me put it in the refrigerator.
Yes.
He committed a crime?
Well, he put it in
the refrigerator?
He gave me the girl's underwear in a plastic bag to put in the refrigerator.
Please.
Well, I don't know what
you're not making sense.
The point is that this guy, Bella, is one of these sickies who wanted to keep it fresh.
You're right.
See what
so
I'm
whatever
saying?
It is, this man
he's
should
a
go
sick
to prison until they judge him. And that's all I could tell you.
Well, ma'am, I don't want to say anything, but you might be watching too much Law and Order. You think you're some kind of a DA or something.
I'm not a DA. I was told to hold on until they called my name.
Yes, we thank you, Helen.
And they called my name.
Called your name,
and I'm talking the way I think.
All right,
nobody's
Helen.
Telling me what to do.
Helen, you're
but
on the air.
You are the one that's on.
Helen,
you
go
know
ahead.
Something? You better have your head examined.
Helen, go ahead. You're on the air.
Pardon me?
I said you're on the air. Go ahead.
I said what I said. It's
well,
got to come up between a judge
you weren't
and
on the air when you said it. You have to say it now. You're on the air.
Yeah.
I've said it, and I've repeated it.
You're on the air. Go
he
ahead.
Is...
Will you guys quit screwing around?
Please, there's too much talking,
he's suffered
and
too
I'm
much.
Telling you in plain English.
I will say this, ma'am, about Jerry Bella. He suffered already keeping inside what he kept inside for all these years.
Well, he should not have done it. He committed a crime.
You're on the
and
air.
He has to
will
be
you...
paid for it the way the judge and a jury will decide.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Okay. I'm hanging up.
You're on the air, Helen. Go right ahead.
Are you guys screwing around? You got a guy out there who's in the joint. He's going to be
but
going to prison.
But you're making me repeat it so many times.
Well,
you've got to repeat it. You weren't on the air.
Yes, you were on the air.
No, she wasn't.
I was
well, you
on
never
the
mind,
air.
Helen.
You told me.
I didn't tell you that.
Well, somebody did.
I did.
All right, so, Helen.
I'm on the air?
I think you're on the air now.
Go ahead. You're on the
okay.
air.
Okay.
Your caller
this man committed a crime.
What's your name, dear?
Helen Browner.
All right, and you're the winner of a Phil Hendry Show CD. Now, what's your opinion?
You're asking me too many questions, and I'm a little too old, and I'm just telling you what I think. And
your last name is Browner.
Committed a crime, and he's got to come between us before
right, yeah.
a judge and a jury.
Helen,
that's it.
All right, Helen, let me spell your last name. B-R-O-W-N-E-Y-E, correct?
No, B-R-O-W-N-E-R.
E-Y-E? Oh, I thought you said it was Brown Eye.
Browner, B-R-A.
Browner.
You're getting me all famished already. Browner, B-R-O-W-N-E-R.
All right, so your name is Melon Brownie. Is that right, dear?
All right, I can't talk. It's too much for me.
Right,
I'm not
well,
a youngster.
Sorry. So it's
but this
Melon
is what
Brownie.
I feel, and I thank you very much.
Thank you, Helen. And
we want to put you on the air. Are you willing to go on
bye-bye.
The air?
Bye-bye.
So that was Bob Green and Harvey Wireman, and they were talking about something completely unrelated, and they decided to just screw with that poor lady that called in. And when I say they, of course, I'm talking about me, but it's always easy to throw it off on some alter ego. This guy's an attorney, and the other guy is his client, and they just start they start messing with this woman that calls in. Melon Brownie. All right, so that's call number two, baby, and that leaves, you got it, the number one call of the year. Who will it be? What's it going to be about? We'll find out coming up The top 100 calls of the year continues on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Time now for the number one call of the year. And this is a call that features two of our most favorite people, Bob and Steve Dooley. Or should I say Bobby and Steve Dooley. They talk about putting on great parties for the boys and their friends, but she finds it disturbing to see how many mothers let their girls come to these parties when they haven't shaved their legs. Some of these girls are too young to shave their legs, but that doesn't stop Bobby. She noticed a lot of these young girls had hairy legs, so she took it upon herself to shave the girls' legs. And wait till you hear this caller's response to Ms. Dooley. This is it. Call one of our top 100 calls of the year.
I've been listening to this program, and that lady is a lunatic. Because why would you be teaching children 11 and 12 years old to groom themselves for young boys when young kids are having babies at this early age? You should be, as a parent, trying to teach those kids the right thing, not shave their hair and make them more attractive for some boys to come along and use them.
Well, Barbara...
And you're crazy. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you had shaved my daughter hair and she came home, and then when I confronted you and then you pushed me, the police would have been pulling you. You would have been mud. Because I ought to beat your ass until you was mud.
Well, apparently...
Because you don't want nobody to do that to your child. And you have no right to shave somebody's child, no matter how they look. And if they didn't look good, you shouldn't invite them to your house and call children eight. It's outrageous.
Well, all I'm saying, Barbara, is...
If they had hair on them, that's God's gift. And when they got of age, and if they want to shave their hair, that's fine. It's not your business to shave them.
All
and
I'm
plenty of people
is,
in this world look like eight. And just because you think you're beautiful, maybe somebody else don't think you're beautiful.
Well, that's
and
hard
you
to
keep
imagine.
Yourself well in your house.
That's...
Beauty is in the inside, not on the outside, because you know what? You're going to get old, and all of that beauty is going to fade, and you're going to be old and wrinkled up, and nobody's going to think you're beautiful.
No, my husband said that I could get treatments. That's number
well,
one.
Well, your husband is sick, and you're sick.
We
but if you had shaved my child, and you confronted, and I confronted you, and you come out, you would have kicked my ass, honey, the police would have been picking you up. I would have kicked your ass and called the cops myself. Now, I mean that because you have no right to shave somebody else's childhood. If you was demonstrating on your own, that's fine and well.
Hey, Barbara.
And if you invite kids to your house,
Barbara,
and they don't look well because they got hair, and you think they're unclean because they have, plenty of people have hormone problems.
Let me jump in, Barbara. Bobby, you said that when you got into this confrontation with this woman, you pushed her down and kept kicking her.
That's correct, yeah.
She
got up into my face, and it
was... Well, I would have got up in your ass, not up in your face, because you had no right to shave somebody else's child. You come out, you got up in her, she got up in your face. She had every right to get in your face, because if that was your child, you wouldn't have wanted somebody to shave your child. And just because somebody have hair on them, it doesn't mean they're dirty.
Well, I you know what, it was on.
And hooray for you with your big house, because beauty is on the inside, not on the outside. And when you get wrinkled up, and your husband, he better save his money, for all them wrinkles you're going to have up your butt. But I ought to put wrinkles up your butt right then and there. And you should be arrested for getting on the radio telling somebody you shaved their children.
I have a 6,500 square foot home.
You would have been laying up in that 60 foot or whatever foot home. You would have been laying up in there on crutches if that was my child. And you should be arrested. But getting
know,
on the air and
so you're
telling what
send,
you shaved
so
somebody else's kid, and
I
then
be clear.
Calling them eight,
I
you should
be, clear.
Be arrested.
I want to be clear. So you're going to send your daughter over to my home.
I wouldn't
with
send my daughter nowhere near you because you're crazy.
With
you're crazy and your husband crazy too.
I dropped that woman over at that homeowners association meeting, and I'll do the same to you.
Well, you get my address and you drop me because I'd make mud out your ass. You would have been carrying that damn stick up your ass, you hear? Because if you had shaved my child and you get on the radio and somebody, they look like apes, honey, you better get every damn cop there because I ought to make mud out your ass.
Wait a second.
I ought to take that damn razor and stick it up yours.
You don't get the humor of Playground of the Apes.
Ain't no humor in nothing you saying. You crazy. Because you wouldn't want somebody else to shave your child. You was going to kick the lady butt who said she was going to shave you if you had a daughter.
You know,
what gives you the right to say somebody else look like an 11-year-old child and you get on the radio and call them an ape? Because
you know,
they got hair on their arm.
You know, Barbara, if you were here right now, I'd have to drop you.
I wish you would. Will you get my address and come and drop me? You want my address? Because
don't,
I
no, no, Barbara, don't give your address on the air, okay?
No, but I...
Don't
you,
do it.
Well, you better... You think because you kicked that lady, whoever that lady was, she couldn't fight.
I kept kicking her.
But I'm telling you right now that I would make mud out your ass if you had shaved my child. They would have been picking your ass up off the floor.
There'd be
and
mud.
I would have called the cops myself after I done kicked your ass.
There'd be mud coming out of your ass.
All right, that's enough.
I wish you would.
That's enough. All right, Barbara, thank you very much. I can well understand.
You got
understand.
A lot of nerve, but I wish I knew where
well
your ass is, because
angry.
I make mud out your
ass. All right, here's my address. You want it?
Yeah.
Here it is. 241.
Wait a minute. Let me write your ass this down. 241 what?
Fun Lane, F-U-N-L-A-N-E, okay?
Yeah.
Happy Town.
Oh, she's screwing with you.
She's yeah. a damn nut, and I was you. I wouldn't even put on my show. She's a damn nut.
There it is. I think that's the top call of the year. Happy Town. Bobby, you're asking for it. And one of these days, Bobby's going to get beaten to death. One of our callers will find where she lives and kill her. Well, there it is, our top 100 calls of the year. Hope you enjoyed it. Now, are we going to repeat this at all? We did last year. We did last year, but in coming weeks, we may repeat this show, so rest assured you'll be able to hear it again, and we will post all of these calls on our website come Monday. It'll be all right. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely... Oh, I'm sorry. Come Monday, it'll be on the website. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.
I'll find stuff I can to Edmund Allen Dustman. Keep your knife upon the British Council. Oh, I'm telling you again.
Service of the villain. You kissed the vice of my mistress, that does not reply.
Is he dead?
Sit you down, father. Rest you.
When I'm walking beside her, people tell me I'm lucky. Yes, I know.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Tell the audience what you would tell me. I'm with Mr. Parsley. Go ahead, sir. We're on the air live right now, sir, and you can repeat what you were telling me off the air.
Well, I'm just devastated is the best way to say it.
I understand that. I'll let the audience know you've lost your son to a horrible accident. You bring my audience up to speed on this, because it's
my boy Patrick. He was going to be 15 years old in March. Was with a friend of his, and I've always kept. I have two weapons, Mr. Hendry. I've got two handguns. One is a 41 Magnum. It's a Smith and Wesson. It's a 41 inch, and the other is a 38.
Yes, sir.
And I've always kept the ammunition locked away. But I had been showing it to a friend of mine who was looking at different weapons for a gun show. And I have a safe downstairs. My son, along with his friend of his, was down there. And the boys were looking at it as they knew they shouldn't have been. And the gun went off. It was in the hand of his friend. And Patrick was killed.
Jesus.
And there's nothing I can do, you know.
What about this other boy? He must.
Well, he's, I'm sure, devastated. I know his family is. And
was there a police report, sir?
They're putting it together now. Yeah, they interviewed me, and they interviewed my my wife, and they interviewed this other young man. But I just wanted to say to you and to everyone listening, I appreciate appreciate what you have, because you never know when it's going to be taken from you.
Amen.
And appreciate every day that you have it. And we're just trying to put one foot in front of the other.
I just want to express my condolences, sir. It's for the, you know, from my heart, my show, whatever we can do.
Well, I can tell you that it has come at the worst possible time for my family, because I was laid off from the company that I work for in late January.
Which company is that?
It was Dashman Electronics. I was a line inspector over there in North Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the fact that you've called our program. This is brutal, losing your job, losing your son.
I will tell you this. I'd lose a million jobs.
Absolutely.
I'd lose a million jobs before I would lose one of my own. I don't care about losing my job, I'll tell you that. I just was calling up to say, to appreciate what you have.
It's horrible. It's just, it's horrible. I mean, I can't, nor would I even pretend to know what you're experiencing.
And we're going to bury him in a week. And I don't know how, and I can tell you that because of the fact that we've been financially strapped. And I guess it doesn't matter, you know, but I'm going to try the very best I can.
You're going to have a funeral for him, right?
I don't think we will be able to, because I don't have the resources to bury my own son, the only son that I have. And I don't know what else we can do. I suppose we'll turn him over to the county.
You don't have the funds to bury your boy?
No, I don't.
Is there something, sir, that we could do?
No, sir, there isn't. No, sir. I don't take charity from anybody. I appreciate your comments and I appreciate your thoughts. But I don't take charity. I never have and I never will. I just, the worst part of is just not being able to afford a proper burial. You know, you go from one day to the next. And I've been looking for a job. I'm a trained electrician.
Yes, sir.
But right now the job market in that field, especially in California, is very tight. So I guess what I'll do is, my wife was joking, I guess we'd just dig a hole and, you know, say some prayers and put him in the hole in the ground or something like that.
Well, that's not necessary. You have to have a proper ceremony marking the end of your son's life to help you and your family.
I'd like to, but I don't have...
Is there any way that we can help, my audience and I?
No, sir. I don't see how.
I mean, we could... If people have money, there'd be somewhere they could send the money?
I wouldn't do that. I'd do it for my wife, I guess. My wife is the only one I, you know, my wife and my two daughters. I don't care for myself at all.
I mean, I could ask my audience. I'll give my phone number out. And we're not going to do a fundraiser here tonight, folks, or anything like that.
I just don't want anybody thinking I'm a charity case.
No, sir, we're not. Let me see if our phone number out, and which is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. And, you know, I don't know how much it costs to... It's a sad topic, but...
Well, a man told me, we talked to people, they say it's probably around $6,000-$7,000.
Well, I know you don't want charity. Maybe there's someone who has maybe someone has a funeral home or something, you know what I mean?
No, I don't. I mean, if you want to, I guess, but my wife, I would only do it for my wife. I don't ever take charity for myself. I'd only do it for my wife. But that's not why I called you, Mr. Hendry. I wanted you to know, I've listened to the station off and on for over the many years, and I guess I was just reaching out, you know.
No, I understand. I understand. I totally do, and I hope that we've been sensitive to you.
You've been a real gentleman, sir. Thank you.
Well, I hope that we've been sensitive to you, and I'm. Can I ask you the gun? It's just tough.
The gun was loaded. I always usually keep the ammunition locked away. But this friend of his wanted to go see it. This young man, who is, I know his father for a long way. Carl Brown's the young man's name. I know Joe Brown and his father. And Kyle, who was always talking my son into things, he's the one that wanted to see the gun.
How did he pull the trigger? Did he point it at him?
He might have. They've done a police report. I mean,
are you suspecting this kid killed your son on purpose?
You never know. I've never personally liked the kid. But here I have. My son's been murdered. Maybe. I don't know. But my son's been murdered. I don't have a job. My wife is sick. And it's going to cost me. And I can't bury my own son. And I don't know how much more the good Lord is going to put on my shoulders before I just go out. You know, I can't even.
Well, you don't want to think about that, okay?
Well, I don't know.
No. You don't want to go down that road, okay?
Well, I need money to bury my son, and I don't know what I'm going to do.
You never know, sir, the capacity for people to hear another human in need is sometimes a very great capacity. But if you wouldn't mind taking, I'd be happy to personally donate to you and your family $500 toward the burial of your son, Patrick.
Well, that's very thoughtful, and it's going to be a lot more than that, though. It's not going to do it, you know.
No, I know that, sir, but maybe we'll get some people donating. I don't know.
$500 is just not going to do it. I mean, I appreciate it very much. You don't know, and I don't want to take charity, but I told you it was 6,000, you know, and that's the number the guy told me over at the funeral parlor, so.
No, I know that, but this is a way. All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Can you imagine that? Here's a guy who's lost his son to a horrifying accident. Loaded gun in the house. Kids playing with it. Kids dead. Lost his job. Doesn't have money to pay for any kind of a funeral for his son. His wife's sick. He thinks maybe his son could have been murdered by this neighbor kid. They don't know yet. He doesn't want charity. I don't know what to say. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. On the peripheral edge of reality. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
With a bow and arrow, you know. It's just,
you have a bow and arrow?
I do. I got a crossbow. I've done a little bit of hunting with it. But
all right, we're back on the air here with Don Parsley. Mr. Parsley lost his son, Patrick. That was his name, right, sir?
Yes, sir. It was Patrick. Patrick Martin.
Yes, sir. And he was 14?
He was about to turn. Excuse me.
I understand. Anyway, the young man was about to turn 15. So you're in a bad way here. Not just have you lost your son, you've lost a job. You can't afford a funeral for him.
No, and I'm ashamed of myself for even talking about it like this, because I never took a dime of charity in my life. But my wife is, she's got, you know, a brand new dress that she bought. I bought it for her last year in Hawaii. She's never had a chance to wear it. She said, I'm never going to get to wear it anywhere. And I said, yeah. And she said, and now I can't even wear it to my son's funeral. Where am I going to wear it? And I would just do it for her. I'm just, that's all.
All right, hold on for a minute, because I got Sam on the line here. Sam, go ahead.
Go ahead?
Yeah, well, go ahead, sir. Did you have a comment you wanted to make, or?
No, I didn't really want to make any comment.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm going to contribute.
Okay, sir, and how much did you want to contribute?
Well, I wish I could do more, but I'll contribute $10.
Okay, Don, there's a gentleman, and I think you told my screener you wanted to put it on your card, right?
Yeah. I got a debit card. I'll put it on.
Did you want me to say something?
Yes, please.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Sam, but I don't think $10 is going to do it. I mean, it's going to cost me a lot of money to bury my son. So.
I know. It's going to cost you $6,000. Listen, I understand how distraught you are.
Thank you very much.
It's going to just take a lot of people like me to pull together for you.
I didn't expect
to go on the air for this.
Oh, I'm. Can you do? I feel bad asking you. Can you do $100? Is that?
Well, the gentleman can do $10.
Yeah, that's really all I can do.
That's not really going to do anything.
Well,
that's $510 so far.
Yeah, that's $510. You see what I'm saying, Don? And I know, as Sam indicated very well, you are distraught.
I'm just emotionally. I've got my two daughters are going to. One of them has just been diagnosed with breast cancer. I didn't want to say anything about it.
All right, but this man has said, you got a lot of problems going on here, so every little bit's going to help.
You know what, Sam? I appreciate it very much, sir, but you do. I'm sure you've got better things to do with your $10.
No, the man wants to give it to you.
No problem.
It's not enough. It's not enough.
Nice talking to you.
Okay, Sam, thank you. I don't think that you can...
But you have to understand where I'm coming from. Come on, and I said my son's shot, and he's dead. He's been murdered by somebody we don't know who got into the house and did it. And the guy says, I'll give you $10. That's almost like telling me, you know, I think it's funny that your son's dead. I want to laugh and have a party.
That man had... No, sir, that's not like that, okay?
Well, that's how it affects me, because...
No, that's not like that. He called out of the kindness, the goodness of his heart, $10. Okay?
But I've got a son who's laying downstairs in a basement. He's been cut up and shot and everything.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. Lincoln, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think that, what's the gentleman's name again?
I'm sorry, sir.
His name is Don Parsley.
My name's Don.
Well, Don, it sounds like you have some very serious problems, and it sounds like to me you probably need to get some serious psychiatric help to begin with.
I've been very depressed, yes, sir.
I've been in that situation too, you know, you mean
you found your son dead? In
well, no, not that. But I've been in the all of this has depressed you to the point that you can't handle it anymore. It sounds like to me.
I'm doing okay. If people like the one guy, I didn't even want to ask for money. But Mr. Henry said, "Why don't you do it?" And so the guy called and said he'll give me $10. That depresses me.
Well, yeah, but I mean that's a start.
A start toward
paying for your kid's funeral.
$10 is going to buy a cardboard box for that boy, and that's about it. I'd like to put him in something better than a cardboard box. I'm sure you understand.
No. You got $510.
$510.
Yeah.
But that doesn't do anything.
Dude, I am broke.
I've got a wife.
I can scratch up $10 for you.
Well, I don't understand. I just told you that $10 isn't going to be enough.
Well, you know what, Lincoln? You got your radio turned up, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I can hear myself echoing in the background. $10, Mr. Henry, and I say this with it's not going to pay for the gas in my car to get to the funeral home. In other words, I'll run out of gas before I'm able to go and see if they did it, you know, if they have them there or they just put them in a bag or whatever they did. I'll be walking, and by the time I get there, it'll be over.
Well, do the people in your community not help you at all?
That's a good point. What about neighbors and friends?
No, we live out in a rural area.
I live in a rural area, and I mean, we chip together. We'll put jars on the counter at the store, and people just are changing there.
My nearest neighbors, we just moved into this. It's like an area. I haven't met anybody yet.
Hey, look at Lincoln. You're very kind, sir. I appreciate your call. 1-800-449-8686. Carol, hi. You're on with Don Parsley, who's suffered a tragedy that none of us could even imagine. Carol?
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, $500 will pay for a perfectly good cremation.
I don't believe in that, ma'am.
And most churches, knowing your situation, will perform at least a graveside ceremony for your son.
So are you not wanting to give any money, or, ma'am?
Sir, I'm beginning to wonder if you're telling the truth. Hear one thing after the other. Now your daughter has breast cancer.
Yeah, I did. I never lied.
Your wife is sick.
I never lied.
You went to Hawaii last year?
I've never
been to Hawaii in my life.
Well, maybe, is that a crime, ma'am? I don't understand.
It's not a crime. But, you know, the first thing I do is go out and sell those guns you have.
Well, I didn't come on Mr. Henry's program to hear you tell me. I just lost my son. And if you had some sensitivity to that, ma'am. I just lost my son tragically, and you're calling up and you're telling me all about your... You've never been to Hawaii.
You don't want $10. You want the poor man to give you $100.
No, ma'am. I'm just...
$500's not good enough for you.
Well, how much can you give?
It's not a matter of how much I can give. It's whether I believe you asked it. You're scamming people.
Okay. I hope you never suffer the death of a child. Because obviously
you
don't know what it is.
You don't know what I've suffered.
No, you haven't suffered anywhere like I have. And the only people people who've lost a child have suffered the way I know.
Your son is lying in your basement, for God's sake?
Well, let me ask you something, ma'am. When you die, where do you hope they're going to find you? Maybe they'll find you with your rear end up in the air on your kitchen floor. It's not very dignified.
I'll tell you what. When I die,
I'm sorry my son didn't die in a place that you think is appropriate for someone to die. But that's where he died.
If you can provide him a funeral, why not do a decent cremation?
Because I don't.
You can keep his ashes.
Did you ask her if she's got any money?
Did you want to donate any money, ma'am?
Because I don't want to talk to her if she doesn't have any money. You know, money talks, bullcrap walks.
Carol, I guess he doesn't want to talk to you. I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. A moment ago, though, you didn't want to take charity, sir.
I understand that, but my wife is very seriously ill, and she has asked me if we can get money for Seth's funeral. They had to work on his face because of the bow and arrow. I'll do anything I can.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, FUBAR.
If somebody calls up and they says they want to give you money, you said your son's funeral.
I understand, Mr. Henry, that people want to do what's the right thing, but if they're going to give me money to pay for my son's funeral, then why would they insult me by only offering $10? What I want to say to you right now, and just talk to my wife, Candy, what we want is a minimum bid at 50, and then we can go up from there.
Well, when you came on, you didn't want to take charity.
I do not want to take charity, sir. No, I do not want to take charity. But my wife, she'll be dead soon. My son's already dead.
Is your wife getting treatment for her breast cancer?
I don't have any money. I can't. I'm going to need more than $6,000. I'll need more just to pay for it. Shoot.
Here is Brandy. Brandy, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. First, I'd like to say how sorry I am about his son. But I'd also like to say that you're being very ungrateful to people, and perhaps they only have $10 to give. And five people giving $10 is $50, and it will add up.
How much do you have? What do you got?
Sir, don't say, Brandy, let me just say something. You don't say to people, what do you got? The people are calling up.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to waste anybody's time. They don't want to waste my time. You know?
You need to quit sounding like an ungrateful ass then and be courteous and thoughtful to people that are trying to help you.
Ma'am, have you ever lost a son in an automobile accident?
Well, I thought your son was shot. Was he
yes.
shot with a gun? Was he shot with an... Now it was an arrow? Now
no, I never said an arrow.
Accident.
I said I have a bow and arrow. My son wasn't shot with an arrow, no.
Well, I thought you said that he had to have reconstructive...
You said that
he shot with an arrow.
Yeah, he'd had reconstructive surgery.
Because he had been in an automobile accident. I thought I was very clear about that.
No, you were clear that he got shot in the face with an arrow and he had to have reconstruction.
You had said, if I may say, you were telling me about... You have a 38 and a 45, a 41?
I got a 41 Magnum, yeah.
That your son had been playing with the gun with a friend.
Yes, sir. They had been. They had been in his friend's car, and he was shot. That's how they had the accident.
No, you said he was shot at your house, that the friend came over to your house.
Yeah, no, they came over to the house. If I'm too emotional to tell the story straight, forgive me. They came over to the house, they got the gun, then they were playing with it in the car. Then the friend shot my son through the head, and then the car wrecked. And then the next day we find out my wife had,
You said she's got breast cancer.
Yes, sir.
Well, he had a daughter that has breast cancer.
No, I said my wife.
No, you said your daughter was diagnosed with breast cancer.
No, well, if I did, I misspoke. But that doesn't make any difference. Are you going to lend money to me, or...
See, again, you're coming off very... You know what I'm saying? Don't say, are you gonna?
All right. I'm sorry. Will you?
Do you think it's funny,
ma'am, if a child dies?
No, you think
it's funny that a child dies? Okay.
No, your story is kind of ludicrous. I don't think you're telling the truth.
So you're calling me a liar?
Well, a lot of your story hasn't been very truthful, and I'm not the only one out there that...
Well, you're the only one I've talked to who said that.
Well, the Lady Carol, I just want to be clear. How did your son die?
He got killed. He got shot as they were getting in an accident. I told you.
Right as they were getting into an accident?
That's my understanding, yeah. As they were going around a corner, this kid, Kyle, shot him, and then they hit a truck.
Well, is the kid Kyle in jail?
Is he where? Is he in jail?
Yeah.
They're still going through the police report on it.
All right, Brandy, thank you. See, this is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You have to understand that if you're going to tell a story to us about a very tragic thing, you have to keep the story straight. I realize that you're emotional.
I'm very emotionally distraught. I'm sorry. I'm not Mr. Storyteller here. Excuse me. Excuse me for breathing.
I understand you're distraught.
I lost my son. That's all I know. And I've got two daughters. My wife has breast cancer, and my daughters, those are the ones that are also, they don't have clothes to wear. There's no clothes. No clothes at all.
You have no clothes to wear?
No, sir, we don't. No, we don't. I can't go to work, not like this.
Well, what are you wearing?
I don't have anything on. There's no clothes. You don't have any money, and I did not call up for charity. You're the one who got the idea, sir.
Forgive me, sir, for wanting to help you. I mean...
I didn't ask you to help me. All I know is I got no clothing.
Let me go over here to... this is Jose. Go ahead, Jose. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. Jose, my name's Shane.
Oh, hold on, Shane. I got the wrong... Where am I going here, man? Oh, four. Shane. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Shane.
Hey, Phil, I got a question for you. You know, this guy, okay, first of all, I apologize. I feel horrible that you lost your son, but let me ask you a question. Just be honest with me now.
Yes, sir.
Are you drinking your sorrows away right now?
I've had a couple of drinks, but I'm not drunk. No, sir.
I think you're pretty drunk. I think you're pretty intoxicated. Well, I don't know why anyone would behave the way they're behaving.
Why would you ask me that question if you already got your mind made up? I'm not
man,
drunk.
No, I'm you're not. Being rude to people, man. Listen, people
you're being rude
help.
To me. You're being rude to me.
I'm not being rude.
Yeah,
I'm calling on a Friday night to give you money, man, to help you out.
You call up to tell me I'm drunk. I'm not drunk.
No. I'm not. I'm just concerned, man.
How much money have you got?
How much money do I have? What?
How much money do you want to give me?
I want to give you $25, sir.
Man, that ain't going to buy me tap water.
Listen,
see,
you
that's
have
what
no
we're
concept.
Saying. That's
you
what
obviously
we're
have no concept of how
yeah.
radio works. You're insulting Mr. Henry by thinking that $25 from every caller wouldn't equal even thousands of dollars for you.
Well,
you know how many people listen
big,
to it?
You're a big radio professional or something? You know,
I'm not a radio professional.
Know
I'm just using
it,
common sense, man. You're obviously distraught.
Yeah, I'm distraught. So why would you call up and tell me that I'm drunk and then slap me in the face with a $25? I've had a couple of shots of. Well, he thinks it's funny that a boy lies dead. That's fine. I hope
I'm
you
sorry.
Never.
I'm sorry. It's nervous laughter, sir. I'm just feeling bad for you. You're
I hope you never
drunk.
Have a child.
You've had a bad month, year, whatever life. I don't know, but. Listen, people just want to help you out. So just instead of insulting people by saying $25 isn't enough, say thank you very much, and collect your money. And be grateful that people like me are even calling in, giving two bits about you.
You know, you sound like some kind of a man. If a guy talked to me like that on the line where I used to work, man, I'd kick your ass.
This is awful.
All right.
Phil, this guy's intoxicated. I don't know why you're letting him on your airways. I really don't.
I'm not drunk, okay? If you think I'm drunk, then I'll tell you what.
How many shots did you have, buddy?
Hey, tell you what. If you think I'm drunk, I'll walk a straight line, you walk a straight line, okay? And when I get to the end and you're still walking it, I'll be laughing.
All right, look at 1-800-449-8686. That guy was going to offer you $25. You don't want it.
I want his $25. Look, it's going to cost me $6,000, okay? Right there. Now, the gas money, getting to and from the funeral home, on top of the fact that if you amortize that.
All right, hold on for a minute. Now we're amortizing it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat and slide off. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're just going to take a few more minutes here, Don. We've been on the air 45 minutes, and you've got $500 for me, and that's it. You're not accepting anybody's donations.
Mr. Renner, I don't believe I accepted yours either.
Well, why wouldn't you accept mine?
I just think you got to get away up there in the air before we can talk some business here, because I got a son to bury. My wife's got to get maybe... For all I know, she's got to get a boob removal or something. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know.
So now we're paying not only for your son's funeral, but for your wife's surgery. Is that it?
You were the one that had the idea.
I had the idea to get money for your son's funeral, sir. Here is Jenny. Hi, Jenny. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Good.
Good.
You know, between me and all my friends, we could probably come up with the whole amount, but...
Well, I'd appreciate that a lot.
But we're not going to do it. I'm not trying to be cruel, because I just find it so hard to believe that somebody be this idiotic. Like,
what are you talking about? If I got to get a boob removal, I'm sorry to say that. It's
called a mastectomy, sir, and you don't even know that you have to do that yet for your wife.
I mean, my goodness, you keep her dead set in a basement? It's not, it's really impossible to believe that that is something that a normal human being would do.
Ma'am, my son got shot and killed, and then we took him back to the basement and laid him there, and he's down there now. I don't know what else to do with him.
But you said that he was in a car accident and then he got shot. And then, like, I find this really hard to believe that this is even possible.
Ma'am.
For somebody that, I mean.
Of course, if you, if it's never happened.
Even Jerry Springer.
If you, if it's never happened.
Boy, no kidding. Now that you mention that, Jenny, this sounds like some kind of a Jerry Springer deal.
Look, oh, this is so Jerry Springer. And
wait a minute.
Don't even. Like,
wait
this,
a minute.
This is,
wait a second.
No.
My son, have you ever had someone get killed in a car and then dragged back to a basement? No, you
haven't. My mom passed away from cancer 7 years ago.
That's got nothing to do with getting beat up with a bow and arrow.
But the point is, this sounds like I find it so hard to believe that you are, that this is
are you,
real. Like, I
ma'am, are you, can I ask you a question? Do you have a cold?
No, I don't. And what does that have to do with
it? Well, it sounds
that's
like you
know. That's a really good comeback.
No. It sounds like your nose is stuffed up. That's all.
Oh, okay. So, I mean.
Well, if you say you and your friends have got the money.
Though, that was trying to screw the,
My daughter was shot in the eye with a BB gun.
That's trying to screw the single mom for mentoring her son.
That's right.
I mean, are you the same guy? Because.
Of what?
This is, I mean, that's how idiotic it is.
Well. If you think it's stupid that a girl gets an eye full of BB, okay.
A what?
You heard me.
No, I just think this is unreal. This is like the
you know what,
Jerry,
Jenny,
like,
Jenny, I've heard that for about the ninth time now, and that's real great. So why don't you go back to your go back to your umbrella drink and let me raise some money for my son's funeral.
But you can't even appreciate it. When somebody says that they're going to give you $10, you say it's not enough.
Well, how much
have you
given me?
Have you been appreciative?
How much you given me?
Me and my friends probably would have given you the whole thing.
You and your friends. I bet you all get together down there at Cheers on the beach, and you all come in a halter top, and you drink Corona beer, and your boyfriends go, and then you all go back. And then you all go back to somebody's apartment, drink rum, and have sex with each other's wives and husbands.
We don't go to apartments.
I hate you.
No.
Right,
but that's totally irrelevant, but I just...
Man, I'd like to... I don't know whether I want to hit you or make love to you.
Oh, that's... I will puke at the thought of that.
Of me hitting
you? Oh, my goodness. No. Oh.
You know what, Jenny?
You need to get some help.
You get your nose blown. Jenny, you blow your nose
away.
And you and I can talk.
Okay, I'll blow my nose.
You blow your nose and
I just did.
Nose and you and I got personality. You and I got possibilities.
So, you break away from the fifth... that you're drinking.
All right.
And do something and get some mental help.
Get into your Honda convertible, drive down to the Newport Pier.
No,
don't bother
I have a BMW,
all right, okay,
actually.
All right, thank you.
A BMW?
Yeah.
So you're driving a jet
car. But anyways.
It's a BMW's German. All right, I got a break. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with Don Parsley, a man who lost his son to either an automobile accident, got shot, got hit with a BB gun, or got a bow and arrow. I don't know what. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pull your head out of your ass. Plug into the world. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well,
I just don't think, sir, that I've done the right thing by having you on the air.
I don't understand.
I just don't think I did the right thing. I don't think I did my audience a service. I think your story is inconsistent. I think that...
Mr. Hendry, I came on and with good intentions.
No, I think your story is inconsistent. I think I reached out, my audience reached out, and you were positively rude in response.
Okay, well, I'm going to go downstairs to make sure my son's body's still there, okay? You can just go straight.
To make sure your son's body's still there, huh?
That's right. And I don't care what you think. You can... Damn it.
What happened?
I tripped. Yep, he's still here.
My apologies, folks. This guy... Hi. yeah, my son got a bow and arrow through the face, or his friend shot him. The best one, though, his friend shot him right as they were getting into an accident. Now, I don't want to talk to this guy, bud.
He really wants to say.
I don't want
to. He really wants to.
Yes, sir.
I just want to thank you for having me on your program and for providing me with a lot of laughs. And I really appreciate everything. And did you know you were on tape tonight on KFI? They took you off the air because of those comments you made about...
Yes, I was aware of the fact that they pulled me off the air on the Los Angeles affiliate because we were promoting the show that was going to replace us on Monday, and apparently they didn't like the way we were promoting it. And it doesn't surprise me at all, because there's two kinds of people in this business. There's big time and there's small time. I like to think that I'm...
Small time?
Big time. What do you mean small time? And then there's small timers. Anyway, enough said, baby. On Monday, our new home in Los Angeles, Extra Sports AM 570. That is, of course, unless somebody gets their underwear in a short in a bunch about that one. And on the air on Monday as well at WWNC in Asheville. Excited about that. Big things happening. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Going straight to the hot place. No reply. No reply.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to our very first Phil Hendry Show Classic podcast. This is a companion piece, if you will, to our regular Daily Show podcast that you can download directly now, automatically, from wherever it is you want to download it from. Right now, we offer it on iTunes directly from our website as well. It's an automatic, and it's a beautiful thing, as is this classic Phil Hendry Show podcast. And we're going to start off our classics with one that was requested quite a lot. As a matter of fact, there's an animated version of this floating around someplace, and when we find it, and we know we've got it somewhere, one of the things that happened was that some of the animated features we had on our old site, they were created by Doug Jones, who is a very, very talented animator as well as a web administrator. And I don't know whether we left that with Doug, if he has it, or whether we still have it, but sure enough, we'll get you the animated version of this one, because I like it. And Doug did some funny animated stuff, including the I think it was the David and Sylvia one. But this is Plane Goes Boom, or Plane Go Boom, and it was one of the very earliest ones that we did featuring Vernon Dozier. The Bobby character is sort of a generic mentally retarded character that, you know, has a lot in common with Bud Dickman, and eventually we sort of folded a lot of those elements into the Bud Dickman character. Bud Dickman was created way back in 1990 as Dave Del Wagon at KVEN in Ventura, and eventually we just, you know, changed the name and turned him into Bud Dickman. The name Dickman came from the film, I think it was The Enforcer with Clint Eastwood, where he is going undercover into a massage parlor, and he says, "My brother was in here last week, Larry Dickman. Do you remember him? Has a gold tooth." And I thought that was funny, so the last name Dickman stuck. This bit is from November of 2001, and it quite obviously is addressing all of the security concerns following 9/11. It was very difficult for us to know what to do with 9/11 for maybe the first few weeks, because obviously people were in shock and people were frightened. But there came a point where the debate over what happened at 9/11 became so frenzied, and the lines were drawn in the sand about war, about security, about who was to blame, that it suddenly got really easy to satirize all of it. Because one thing about satire, if the targets are big enough, then they're ripe to be hit. You don't have to worry about somebody's feelings, because there's always going to be someone who's going to be agreeing with you. So in any event, we took on the security and the concerns about security at the airport issue. They wanted to get a new security apparatus in place. We see it today, TSA. But back in November 2001, they didn't have it. And they weren't quite sure who they were going to get. People from schools, retired cops, who? And this is a comment on that they finally decide to train people from a, you know, a home for the, you know, mentally inefficient. And this came of that. It's Vernon Dozier, and it is Bobby in Plane Go Boom.
Bobby is on the conveyor belt right now. Bobby, tell Lisa. This is Lisa.
Hi.
Lisa, can you hear Bobby?
I can hear him just fine.
Hi.
Hello.
All right, now, Bobby, tell us what you see on the conveyor belt.
That's a sweater. A jacket.
That's right.
Briefcase. Plane go boom. Plane go boom.
All right, now, he just said plane go boom because he saw a gun. And although it isn't really a gun, it's a comb, he's getting better. But I dare you.
Wait. He just said plane go boom, and it's not a bomb, and it's not a gun, it's a comb?
That's right. And I have to.
Well, you're not going to give that kid the
I got to. Just,
Why did
you... Can you please stop abusing that child?
I'm not. I'm making him understand.
No, what you're doing is degrading his person.
Pants go brown.
That's right. Your pants went brown.
What you're doing is degrading his person. How would you feel if someone hooked you up to a machine and shocked you every time that you got something wrong?
But what else is this kid going to do with his life? Sell flowers?
He can do a lot with his life if someone like you wasn't sitting there ruining his self-esteem.
Lisa, Bobby could spend the rest of his life sweeping up at McDonald's, scaring children.
And you know what? I would be a lot happier with him doing that than what you're doing to him right now.
Bobby, quit playing with the conveyor belt, okay?
Plane go boom.
No, the plane's not going to go.
I would be much happier seeing my son working at McDonald's asking someone, do you want fries with that, than seeing him hooked up to a conveyor belt and being shot.
There's no way. I don't even know how the parents
of this child, Bobby,
I'm Bobby,
can allow you to do this.
How old is Bobby, 23?
I'm Bobby.
He's 23, yeah. And he turned off the conveyor belt. Give me the phone, Bobby.
Well, what I would say then, Vernon, you all right?
Just trying to get the phone away from him.
What I would say primarily is that I can't hear.
Give me the phone.
I'm Bobby.
I know you're Bobby.
How can you have this guy checking stuff at an airport when he won't give you the phone back? You know what I'm saying?
Bobby, my cheese.
Here's some cream cheese, goddammit. I would turn this off.
And the fact that you would have the nerve to even call that boy a retard, to me, is extremely offensive, because that child is not a retard. And you need to look at what you're doing.
What the hell is going on? What's going on?
He wrapped a phone cord around my throat.
And you want him working in an airport?
You want him working in an airport?
What?
You want him...
I think there's nothing wrong with it.
Hello? This is ridiculous. Get the phone away from the kid, okay?
All right, now look.
You want him working in an airport? Do you honestly trust your security and the security of our nation to a boy who would wrap a phone cord around your own neck?
Say that again.
What are you doing?
I gotta get the cord off.
This is insane.
Bobby, dirty now.
Oh, clean him up, will you, Bobby? Lisa, thank you for your call. Go clean the kid up, okay?
Bobby, take the cord off, will you?
Bobby, go brown.
All right. Mr. Dozier?
What?
Are you okay?
Well, if it were not for me, he'd be mopping up his own drool at McDonald's.
I'm now going to end the conversation, okay?
Don't forget air scan security systems. We are the best.
Plane go boom.
So there it is. Plane go boom. And as I mentioned at one point, when we played that back on the air, I said that was the second most requested bit that we probably got up to a certain point. That and All You Can Eat Negro, which we will feature this week, by the way. And just some technical notes on that bit. You'll notice that when I decided to have this kind of this conflict between Vernon and Bobby, I was also talking, trying to keep the listener engaged, and so I was rattling the phone with my right hand and using the mic pot with my left to keep the mic pot up, but I was keeping the phone far enough away so you couldn't hear it, and you do that so that the caller will think, okay, this is all normal, I guess that's background noise. You know, that seemed to work pretty effectively, and then wrapping the cord around Vernon's neck was simply just a matter of just putting my own hand on my own throat to affect the vocal cords like that. But it's all to great effect. It's called radio. That's what we do on this show. And that's how you use the medium. That is our first of many downloads, our classic Phil Henry Show download for today. And it's called Plane Go Boom with Vernon Dozier and Bobby. And it's from November of 2001. Go ahead and search that. It is a download for those of you who have a subscription. If you don't have a subscription to our website, get one, and you can download that bit and a great many other classics at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Thanks.
Love was in your eyes. last